ಜಯಂ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಂ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಆನಂದಕೋಳಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಓ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವನ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮಷ್ಟಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮಿಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂಬಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನುವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯಂ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೂತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣೇ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾಭ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಧ್ವಾಂಧಹಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಮೂತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಬೋಧೇ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನು ಗೌರಾಯ ದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇ ಸ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದಿಷ್ಟಾಸ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯಾಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯದೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪ ಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ಜೇದಂ ಸುರದೋಪಾಂಗೋರ್ ಮಂದಮದೇರ್ಗದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂಭೋಜೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೋ ದಿವ್ಯಬೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೋ ವಿಶೇಷಶೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೋ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಟಾಲುಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೋ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀ ವಟತಟ ಸ್ಥಿರ ಕೃಷನ್ ವೇಣು ಸನೇ ಗೋಪೇರ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀಯೇ ಸ್ತುನಾ
തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ക്രതിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദധാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹർ. വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ. പരാശര്യവജം സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃവാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ. നാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാം ഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ദ്വാവിമൗ പുരുഷൌ ലോകേ വേഴ്സ് 16. ക്ഷരം അക്ഷരമേവ ച ക്ഷര സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി കൂടസ്ഥം അക്ഷരമുച്യതേ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് വി ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ലൈഫ് ടു നേച്ചർ പുരുഷ എക്സിസ്റ്റ്. One is Kharam, which is our jiva, which will die. Eventually, it has to die. Kharam has to die. Kharam means death, which dies. The other one is Aksharam, which doesn't die. So, this Kharapurusha and his material existence, which is the jiva platform or the material existence, what is referred to as birth, death, old age, disease, all that. So, his cause of his existence of Kshara-purusha and karma-vasana, what he creates during his sojourn through this world, and vasanas that is created due to the karma and due to the material existence, all of them, they are all dependent on Kshara-purusha. Kshara-purusha, who travels through this in this material life, when he experiences material existence, he creates karma vasana, but this Kshara Purusha is completely dependent on the Akshara Purusha. So Krishna is saying here that everything that is born from Kshara Sarvani Bhutani Samastam Vikara Jatam Ityartha they are born from vikaram. Vikaram means changes, transformations that's happening in the modes of nature. That is how this Kshara-purusha comes into existence. And and Akshara-purusha, kodastham aksharam uchyate, Krishna is saying here, because of the kodastha nature, that is, he is entrapped in the body, still trapped in the body, isn't it? Akshara-purusha is still trapped in the body. Therefore, he is influenced by Maya, his Maya, and plus other things like cheating propensity. Maya, cheating propensity, and the Vakragadi. Vakragadi means that not straightforward, always diplomacy, diplomatic nature. And Kudilada, crookedness. All these things, because it is associated with him, Akshara-purusha in that stage is addressed as Kodastham. Because this is all within the body, all these things happen, isn't it? So, in other words, with a lot of Maya, unending material existence and cause for the nature of this material existence is Akshara-purusha. So, we have to understand these three things very separately. Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha, and Purushottama or Uttama-purusha, Krishna addresses in the next verse. Kshara-purusha we have seen, which is our nature as Jiva, under the Ahankaram, false ego, which dictates everything and which causes our material life. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvam, Ragad, Dvesham, this is all a part of that Kshara-purusha's nature. When we move one step further, and Kshara-purusha is prominent in the vacant state and in the dream state. When we go into the deep sleep state, that is where Akshara-purusha is hiding there. He is dormant there in that deep sleep state. But because he is inside the body, he is still under the body, Akshara-purusha, who is a manifestation of the Uttama-purusha. But this Akshara-purusha's problem is that he still has the influence of Maya being present in the body. And also, the other thing, Ivasthit Adhava Kodo Mayaha Vanjana Jinmada Kudilada Iti Pariyayaha Anega Mayadi Prakarena Sthidaha Kudastaha Samsara Bijam Anandyat Nacharadi Iti Acharamuchyade. The problem is Akshara-purusha is that he is still subjected to Maya. He is still subjected to Vanchana. Vanchana means cheating. Jinmada. Jinmada means this Vakragadi, not straightforward. And Kudilada, crookedness. All these things is present there. And in that state, Akshara-purusha is dormant. Like all our vasanas are all these things. These things are our vasana. Cheating propensity, not straightforward diplomacy, and not straightforward and crookedness. All these vasanas what we have created, if she is in the Karana Shariram, and there he is dormant. Akshara-purusha is dormant there. So, iti pariyayaha. Anega mayadi prakarena sthidaha. Various types of mayas is influencing him. Kodastaha. But he is kodastham. Because he is present, trapped in this body. Samsara bija anandyad nacharadi. Therefore, what's happening? The seeds are being sown inside for material existence for a very, very long period of time. Samsara bijam. Samsara bijam means the seed for material existence. Anandyad na charadi. It never comes to an end. It goes on. Never comes to a stop. It keeps increasing. Idi aksharam uchyate. Because na charadi, idi aksharam uchyate. Therefore, he is addressed as Akshara-purusha. He is addressed as Akshara-purusha. Now, Adhyam Kshara Kshara-bhyam Vilakshanaha Kharam Aksharobadi Dvaya Dvoshena Asprashto Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhavam. That is the Uttama-purusha stage, the third one. Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and Uttama-purusha. Uttama-purusha situation is Abhyam Kshara Aksharabhyam Vilakshanaha. He is free from both Nashwaram and Anashwaram, temporary and permanent. Both these upadhi means these limitations, does not exist in him, who in Paramatma. And these defects, these faults, does not touch him, and therefore he is Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Surubham. He is eternal, he is very pure, and he is fully conscious, and is always liberated, and that is Paramatma. So that is how this verse is pointing at. Dvavimau purushau loge kharam aksharameva cha kshara sarvani bhudani kudastha ksharamuchyade. Krishna says that in this verse, which we discussed last Sunday also. I mentioned there at that time that this vastu inside, which Krishna says is Akshara Purusha, and then the Uttama Purusha is the one which was discussed in the 13th chapter. If you remember, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, that 14, 15, 16 verses which we saw earlier. And when we discuss that Uttama Purusha's nature, Krishna spoke about that in there, isn't it? In that 13th chapter, Krishna spoke about the Uttama Purusha's nature. From that, reading those verses, you can understand what's the difference between Akshara Purusha and Uttama Purusha. Akshara Purusha is that one, Krishna is saying there, that the Sarvendriyam, Sarvada Pani Badamdal Sarvadoksha Shiromukam. Sarvada, that is the verse 14 in the 13th chapter. Thus 14, 15, 16 is referring to the Uttama Purusha. Sarvada Pani Badamdal Sarvadoksha Shiromukam. Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avritya Tishtadi. The very nature of Uttama Purusha is that he is not trapped in anything. Akshara Purusha is also trapped in the body, isn't it? Uttama Purusha is that state which is outside the body, present in all living and present everywhere as full consciousness. That is Paramatma's nature. So, Sarvada Pani Badamdal, that is why it is spoken like that. Sarvada Pani Badamdal, his eyes and hands and legs are everywhere. Sarvadokshi Shiromukham. That means all our hands, legs, eyes, all living entities, it is Krishna's. It is from that concept Paramatma has spoken. Sarvada Pani Badamdal, Sarvadokshi Shiromukham. Sarvada Shudimal Loge, Sarvam Amrutya Tishtadi. Everything is within that. And Sarvendriya Gunavasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. Next verse says that. Asaktam Sarvabhutseva, Nurgunam Gunabhoktraja. Three modes of material nature won't enter into him. And Behirandascha Bhudanam, Ajanam Charamevacha, Sushmatvada Vijnayam, Durastam Chantikecha Tat. That is the nature of that Purushottama, Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse, isn't it? So, we have also seen there that all the mind is his mind. All the body is his body. And all our movements are his movements, Krishna's movements. Purushottama is Krishna. All the movements are Krishna's movements. All the body is Krishna's body. All the activities of the senses are Krishna's activities of senses, and in that way, that is in the Narayana Suktam, we talked about this, that Sahasra Shirsham Devam Ishvaksham Vishwasambhavam Vishwam Narayanam Devam Aksharam Paramam Padam. So, here something important is that that Vishwam Narayanam Devam Aksharam Paramam Padam. Narayana Suktam says that the whole Vishwam, creation itself, is Narayana. Is Krishna. All Vishwam is Krishna. Vishwada Paramanityam Vishwam Narayanam Harim Vishwamedam Purusha Sadvishya Upajivati Patim Vishwastam Ishwara Shashwadam Shivam Uchyudam Narayanam Mahagneyam Vishwadam Vishwatmanam Parayanam Parayanam. So, here Narayana Parojyodi Atma Narayana Para, Narayana Parabrahman, Tatum Narayana Para, Narayana Parodhyada, Dhyanam Narayana Para. He says, Yacha Kinjit Jagat Sarvam, Drishyade Shruyade Bhiva. Whatever you are seeing or hearing in this Jagat, in this creation, Andar Bahishcha Tat Sarvam, Vyapyam Narayana Sthida. It is only Krishna who is present inside, who is present outside every living being. Exactly that verse in the ബഹിരന്തശ്ച ഭൂതാനം നാരായണ സൂക്തം വേഴ്സസ് ദേ ആർ ദേ ആർ ടേക്കൺ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ബഹിരന്തശ്ച ഭൂതാനം അചരം ചരമേവച സൂക്ഷ്മത്വാദ അവിജ്ഞേയം ദൂരസ്ഥം ശാന്തികേച്ചത് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഈസ് എക്സാക്ട്ലി ദ സെയിം വേർഡ്സ് ആർസ് കമ്മിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദി നാരായണ സൂക്തം നാരായണ സൂക്തം ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ വേദം ലൈക് വി ഹാവ് പുരുഷ സൂക്തം ശ്രീ സൂക്തം മംഗള സൂക്തം നാരായണ സൂക്തം ദീസ് ആർ ഓൾ ഇൻ ദി ശ്രീരുദ്രം ദേ ആർ ഓൾ ദ ഹിംസ് ഇൻ ദ വേദം അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് ദ സുപ്രീം ലോർഡ് ഇൻ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫോംസ് സോ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഹാവ് കം ടു ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് പുട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹിയർ സോ ഒറിജിനൽ വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി നാരായണ സൂക്തം ഈസ് യച്ച കിഞ്ചിത് ജഗത് സർവം ദൃശ്യതേ ശ്രൂയതേ ഭിവ അന്തർബഹിശ്ച തത് സർവം വ്യാപ്യ നാരായണ സ്ഥിത ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഈസ് ദിസ് ബഹിരന്തശ്ച ഭൂതാനം ഭൂതാനം അചരൻ ചരമേവ ച സൂക്ഷ്മത്വാ തത് അവിജ്ഞേയം ദൂരസ്ഥം ശാന്തികേച്ച തത് സോ യച്ച കിഞ്ചിത് ജഗത് ജഗത് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് മൂവിംഗ് വിച്ച് ഹസ് ഗോട്ട് മൂവ്മെന്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദ പ്രപഞ്ചം ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് whatever that is experienced in our through our mind and senses when this world changes that's happening in the world the movement in the world all that has an effect in us isn't it so drishyate shruyate va everything narayana eva is a seer that drishyate shruyate bhiva yacha kinjit jagat sarvam drishyate shruyate bhiva from the vedic point of view world means what you see is the world it's not the world how we interpret the world in a different way all our world is different each one of us experience this world in a different way so that is why yacha kinjit jagat sarvam drushyate shruyate hiva whatever mainly through these two senses through hearing and through seeing what you perceive അന്തർബഹിശ്ച തത് സർവം വ്യാപ്യ നാരായണ സ്ഥിത ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് പരമപുരുഷ അനന്തം അവ്യയം കവിം സമുദ്രേന്ന് വിശ്വാസം ജനം സോ അനന്തം അവ്യയം കവിം സമുദ്രേന്ദം വിശ്വസംഭവം പത്മകോശ പ്രതീക്ഷ ഹൃദയം ചാപ്യധോ മുഖം അധോ നിശ്ചത്യ വിദസ്ത്യന്തേ നാഭ്യം ഉപരി തിഷ്ഠതി ജ്വാലമലാകുലം ഭാതി വിശ്വസ്യ യതനം മഹത് സാന്തത ശിലാഭിസ്തു ലംബത്യ കോശസന്നിഭം തസ്യന്തി സുഷിരം സുഷിര സൂക്ഷ്മം തസ്മിൻ സർവേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠിതം സോ ഹിയർ ആഫ്റ്റർ സേയിങ് ദിസ് ഹി സേസ് അബൌട്ട് അക്ഷരപുരുഷ ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേഴ്സസ് സോ ഫാർ സ്പോക്ക് ഇൻ ദിസ് നാരായണ സൂക്തം ഫസ്റ്റ് ദേ ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് പുരുഷോത്തമ And then they talk about Aksharapurusha, unlike in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, first Krishna talk about Sharapurushan, Aksharapurushan, Purushottama. In Narayana Sukta, it's the other way. First talks about Purushottama, and then they talk about the Aksharapurusha. He says here. So, he says here, Palpmakosha Pratiksha Brudhyam, Hrudayam, Chabhyado Mukham, Atho Nishtaya Vitastyam, Ande Nabhyam Upari Dushtadi. ജ്വാലാമലകുലം ഭാതി വിശ്വസ്യ യതനം മഹത് സോ ദ വേ നാരായണ സൂക്തം മെൻഷൻസ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പത്മകോശം പ്രതീക്ഷ ഹൃദയം ചാപ്യധോ മുഖം സുഷിരം മീൻസ് എ ഹോൾ സൂക്ഷ്മം മീൻസ് സട്ടിൽ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദർ ഈസ് എ സ്മോൾ ഹോൾ വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഇൻ എ വെരി സട്ടിൽ പ്ലേ plain it is this all you have to understand it's all in imagination it's not real you shouldn't look for it through the open it up and see if there's a hole there it's not that so what Shruti is doing is vedam is doing this is from the vedam narayana sutram itself is vedam is taking us to another plane higher than the bodily level mentally level rather to the higher plane of Aksharapurusha's plane he says here then and that means to the location of the hrith that hridayam so in that hrith there is a hole and through that it says there that adhomukham padmakosham pratiksha hridyam chapya adhomukham means a lotus flower is not open, but it is hanging downwards. The stem upwards, the flower downwards, it hangs down there. You will see this in the Bhagavadam when Krishna talks about meditation, dhyanam, how to start the meditation. It's all related to that. That the inside the heart, through that hole, if we get to that, you will see a lotus flower which is not open, closed. It's standing down there, in there. And beyond, below that, there is the fire which creates this material world, which creates this creation going on. And there is a hole there, and through that hole, tasmin sarve pratishtidam, everything is present in that hole. So, whole creation is lying in that hole, says Vedam. Vedam says like this. Remember, I mentioned before also, Vedam is difficult to understand. Not anyone has understood so far. As Krishna himself says, it's only me who understands Vedam. Nobody else understands. According to the meditation, according to their realization, they have spoken from Vedam various things. Rishis have come out with different explanations to it. And it is as Krishna is saying that when you realize the self, these things are understood better. But in reality, Krishna says, the only person who understands Vedam is me. Mentions there. So, the world comes from that hole. From that whole manifestation of the world in the morning when we wake up, happens from that hole. And in the night when you go into deep sleep, it goes back into that same hole and dissolves there. And dissolves there. When you sleep at night, everything goes there, inside. That is how we close the show down in the night. We think that we, when we go to deep sleep, when first we go into our mind dissolves, isn't it? In the dream, when first the body dissolves, body goes away, when you go into the dream state. In the dream state, the mind dissolves finally, and then you go into deep sleep. So, when you go into that deep sleep state, you can see everything has disappeared. Body disappeared, mind disappeared. Where have they disappeared? That you have to understand. That is where that hole is. That hole is talking about. And, tasmin sarve pratishtidam. Narayana Suktam is saying that everything is in that hole, in that hrit part, the hole where it is there. Tasyamadhi maha agnihi vishwa archir vishwado mukham so agrabuk vibhajan tishta anahara majara kavi tirya gurdhva madasa shai rasamaya stasya santada sandabayadi swam deha mapada talama mastakaha tasyamadhi vani shikha anir yurdhva vivastidaha. This is also in the Narayana Suktam. Narayana Suktam is saying tasyamadhi maha agni. It says here that in the middle of that is a big fire that is going on there, and situated within that hole, rays are going down upwards and downwards in the body. Sandabayadi swam deham apada tala mastakaha, from the padam, from the feet to mastakam, to the head, these rays are flowing from that fire which is present there. Because it is due to his presence that the body has the heat. What we experience the heat in the body is due to his presence. That presence of that agni in the hrit. His presence, Vedam says, he keeps this body heat. Body heat. You see. And not only gives the body heat, he is the one who is operating as jiva inside the body, as jiva and vatsvaram. So here another word he is saying there, that neelathoyada madhyastam didiyul kheva bhasvaram nivara shoga vahani vathani pitham bhasvat yanupam tasya shikhaya madhye paramatma vivastida sa brahma sa shiva sa hari sendra sokshara paramaswarad. This is a Narayana Suktam verse. It's famous, it is Narayana Suktam. In the famous temples, this is they use for deity worship. Along with the Purusha Suktam prayers, these are the ones chanted during the worship of the deity. Purusha Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Shri Suktam, Mangala Suktam, Rudra Suktam. Famous prayers in the Vedam. The pujaris also may not understand it. It's very difficult to understand it because it is too subtle and we have to have that realization inside what Krishna is saying there. But because Vedam is authority, you have to accept it as it is. But what it says, we can say. What it says, we can say that. But how to experience that, that will only come through upasana. And through realization it will happen. This is here. Neelam thoyada madhyastam didiyulekha bhaswaram nivare suga vadhani pita bhasat enupamam tasya shikhaye madhye paramatma vyavasthitam. Where is paramatma present? That is where he is present. And sa brahma, that paramatma who is inside is addressed as Shiva, sa Shiva, sa Hari, sa Indra, sokshara paramam swarad. Is addressed in various ways. Shiva, Hari, Indra and all other. Rutha Satyam Param Brahma Purusham Krishna Pingalam Urdhvaregam Virubaksham Visharubayavai Namo Nama. Paying obeisances to that power of Paramatma who is present within the heart. Narayanaya Vidmahi Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prajodayat. So Narayana Suktam, you can, if you want to read it, you can download it from the web. It's there, Narayana Suktam, with translation, purport, everything given there. So, Narayana Suktam is saying to us exactly what it is based on, that this Bhagavad Gita verses are, these verses are come about. So here, he says here, Neelavayda Madhyastha Vidulpasena Bhaswaraha. Exactly like a very small grain, he is present here. They speak like that in order to make our mind more subtle. To make it more subtle, they speak like that. You must have heard this one by 10,000 tip of the hair, the size of the soul. Why is it spoken like that? To make us aware, to make it a little bit more subtle. So that you become start becoming a little bit more subtle. When we are very gross, when somebody says, it's very difficult to change our way of thinking. So to make us more subtle, it is spoken like that. 1 by 10,000 tip of hair and all that. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything like that. So, sa Brahma, sa Shiva, sa Hari, sa Acharaha, Paramaswara. So, you can see one thing. All the words that is used here, what Krishna has used, is all the words from the Vedam. Everything from the Vedam Krishna has used. Everything, authority is Vedam. Always, even for Bhagavad Gita, authority is Vedam. That you should never forget. Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, but Krishna has taken things from the Vedam. Krishna has taken from the Upanishads. So, Shuti is Pramanam. What it means is that this knowledge is not Krishna done research and found out. It's not done through research. That's the important thing. So, Krishna himself is showing to us, that's all it is. Krishna himself is showing to us, look, I am telling you something which is in the Vedam. That is how Krishna puts it to us. That is the way we should also train our mind. It's in the Vedam. Vedam is the authority. Nowadays you will hear people speaking different ways. Some people say it's Prabhupada's teachings. It's not Prabhupada's teachings. It is Vedam it is. If you start saying, bringing into one individual and saying it is his teaching, then it has lost its potency. Often you will hear these people saying this. Oh, Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's teachings. It's not Prabhupada's teachings. It is Vedam it is, Vedic knowledge it is. Prabhupada as himself says, I am just a transmitter of the parampara. I have nothing else to do with that. If it is mine, don't trust me, he said. That was his own words. He said, it's not mine. It's not. But we have this tendency to put it on somebody's. We want an individual to owe the responsibility. Then we keep changing it, what it suits us. And then we say, he said this. So it becomes all confusing. No, Vedam says that is the authority. Vedam is the only authority. Everyone else is a transmitter for the Vedic knowledge. So he says here, you can see here, Krishna himself is telling us. Even Krishna follows that process. He doesn't say it's mine. He says Vedam has spoken like this. It's Vedam. Vedam is the authority. That you can't change. We may understand, realize it or not. That's another thing. But authority of the Vedam is unquestionable. That's unquestionable it is. So, Krishna is showing here. So, word Akshara, Krishna is used here. Isn't it? Akshara Purusha. So, Akshara Purusha, where is coming from? Coming from the Narayana Suktam it is. It is Narayana Suktam word that is Krishna is used there. So, Akshara Param, everything you will see, Akshara Paramaswarad, they were already covered by Vedam. Long before Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, these words were already coined by Krishna before. From the Vedam, Krishna has taken and used them before. So, Krishna has used that living force. He is present inside the heart, who is limited within us. In the deep sleep state which you perceive, Krishna addressed that as Akshara Purusha. You see, that living force who is present inside the heart in the time of deep sleep, who is dormant there, hiding there underneath the vasanas, Krishna called him as Akshara Purusha, which is already there in the Vedam. That word is there, Akshara Purusha. That's where it has come from there. So, and if when that living force, when he spreads around in the whole creation, he is Purushaha, he is Purushottama. You see that difference? That when Akshara Purusha, who is inside a dormant in the deep sleep state, underneath the vasanas, which we have seen earlier, Acharya mentions there, that Akshara Purusha, when he is present in all the creation, in everywhere, in everything, he is Uttama Purusha or Purushottama. These are the three levels. This also you can see in another way. When first you realize Akshara Purusha inside, that is, realize the self within oneself. Later on, only you can realize the Uttama Purusha or Paramatma who is present everywhere. That comes later, after that. So, without realizing the self, you can't realize Paramatma. You can't realize Paramatma. But once you, the Uttama, Akshara Purusha is realized, the next step normally is always Paramatma realization or Uttama Purusha or Purushottama realization. This is the principle. when that living force spreads everywhere in the creation, Purushaha, he is called Purushaha. Because he is perfect at that time. Once that is realized, then it is Purnam. It is complete then. Self-realization is complete at that stage. Then that is when it is called Purusha. Then it is called Purushaha. Because he is present in everything and he is Purnam. He is perfect. And because he is Puranam. Puranam means he fills everything in this creation at that time. Because he has filled everything in this creation, therefore he has become Purusha. Therefore he is addressed as Purusha. He is present everywhere. So this is called Sahaja Nirvikalpa Sthiti. Sahaja Nirvikalpa Sthiti. It is not Nirvikalpa Samadhi, but Nirvikalpa Samadhi you have left, finished from there. Nirvikalpa Samadhi is in the Akshara Purusha stage. It is in the Akshara Purusha stage. So, Nirvikalpa Samadhi state is gone, and then when the vasanas have all drained out from the Karana Shariram, you have drained all the vasanas from the Karana Shariram, then the yogis, they still live in this world for the benefit of the world. Even the great yogis who have drained all the vasanas from inside for the benefit of the world, they will live in this world. This you can see here in this verses also. It says that the Lokamangalam. It says like that. Lokamangalam. So this nature of the Akshara Purusha, what we are talking about, that vasanas have gone away, but the yogis will remain in the world for others' benefit, not for their own benefit. What is their experience then? Will they fall back into this world again, like we do? because they will not fall back. The reason is, for them, this world does not exist anymore, what we have now. They don't have a world to fall back into. You see? They have fallen into the other world, and when they are in the other world, they can't anymore experience this world, what we are experiencing today. This is the difference. This is the difference. They have no world to fall back again. They have fallen into the other side. And once you have fallen into the other side, then there is no question of falling back into this side again. That is what Krishna is saying here, that still thing is that they will see so many objects in this world, like we see. They will see. But yatra yatra manoyadi brahmanaha tatra tatra darshanam. Anything when they see, they are seeing Krishna there, Brahman there. Paramatma darshanam. That's what they have. Paramatma darshanam. Anything they see, it's Paramatma there who is present. They are not seeing a person in the name and form and with the vasanas. They are not seeing that. They are seeing inside that person the Paramatma's presence only. That's a big difference. I know it's difficult to comprehend all these things, but we have to speak the theory still. We have to tell the theory, isn't it? Otherwise, we may think, misunderstand. But why I'm saying all this is that we have to remember that self-realization process, once it starts, it doesn't stop. You go on and on, and every stage, whatever that is realized, all you can do is to check with Upanishads, is this correct or not? That is what everybody has done. They realize it in their search for the truth, they realize at different levels, and they keep checking with the Upanishads, they see that what they have realized is the fact, is the right thing. Then, otherwise it is not. Yatra yatra manoyadi brahmana tatra tatra darshanam. So whatever they see, for them it is only Krishna who is present there. Atma, present in everything. You will see this in the Bhagavadam, in the 11th canto. Pipalayana Maharshi says, Kambayu magnim salilam mahim cha. That verse. Janeshu satveshu disho drumadin. Remember? It is eleven two forty one. Pipalayana Maharshi mentions this to Nimi. Nimi asks the question, isn't it? Or not? 11.2. It's in the Kavi Maharshi says this. First time, Bhagavata Dharmam, when the question was raised, Kavi Maharshi answered the question. You will see there, Kambayu Magnim Salilam Mahim Cha Jodim Shri Satwani Disho Drumadin Saril Samudram Shahare Shariram Yalkinja Budam Pranamit Ananyaha. That's that. This will be his vision at that time. Kham Vayu Agni Salilam Mahim Cha. All the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether, and fire. Jodim Shri Satwani Disho Drumadin. All the planetary systems, all directions. Sarit, Samudramscha, Haresh, all the rivers and the oceans and the earth, everything, Krishna's body. Saril, Samudramscha, Hare, Shariram, Hari, Shariram it is. Yal Kinja Bodham, Pranamed Ananyaha. And when he sees like that, what he does, this realized soul, he pays obeisances to everything in this creation. Because he has reached that state of realization. That's all he can do. When you see that the whole creation is Krishna, what do you do then? You simply pay obeisances to Krishna in everything. Saril samudramsha hare shariram yal kinja bhudham pranamena ananyaha. Nothing exists outside Krishna. That realization has come to him. That is what it is mentioned here. So, everything what he sees is Krishna's form. And such a person doesn't require, once you have reached that state, then there is no necessity for him to sit in samadhi or dhyanam, meditation or anything like that. He has crossed all that. He has gone beyond than that. So, what is happening is, he has touched the Uttama Purusha at that time. So, when we realize Krishna, present in all living entities everywhere, that is Uttama Purusha realization. When you realize Krishna inside us, as present inside, in the deep sleep state who is dormant, but knowing very well that it is Uttama Purusha's manifestation inside us, not the one who is transmigrating from one body to another, but the one who is always Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhavam, by his nature is eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That realization, which is in the Karana Shariram, who is dormant, if you realize that, he is Akshara Purusha. And then, as usual in the beginning, first time when you realize that you are not the body, when you start talking about, that is the Jiva state, Akshara Purusha. At that time, what we realize is that somehow or the other, it has got into our head that we are not the body. That state, that is Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha, Uttama Purusha, in three different planes. So, Bhakti's opposite word is Vibhakti. All Vibhakti stops there. That is pure Bhakti. When you realize this, Krishna's presence in everything. Nothing is separate from Krishna. Everything is Krishna. That realization. Vibhakti in the grammar, they teach that. How Sanskrit grammar they teach that. When the Ramachandra's name, they take Rama. And then Rama word, they transforms into different forms to teach the Rama, ho, Rama, Rama, ho, like that. So, this Rama word, Aham Shabdham, how it is, there are seven different aspects of this Vibhakti. Different aspects of Vibhakti. So, with these seven things, we live in this world. With these seven things, we live in this world. For example, I, then me, by me, for me, from me, mine, and in me. If you look your own conversation with others, these are the seven things you will always use. Nothing outside these seven. This is called Vibhakti. These seven ways you get attached, identify with Aham inside us. I am, I, you will say sometimes, I. Me. By me, for me, from me, mine, and in me. So, these seven things is related to Aham. Aham. So, this Aham moves in seven different ways inside us. Ahankaram. Ahankaram moves in these seven different ways inside us. So, when these seven movements becomes thinner and thinner and become completely disappears, then your ahankaram is gone. Some people you will see when they say talk, they'll always say, I, for everything there will be an I, everything. That ahankaram's movement, that is. It's difficult to move everything from one person, but when a spiritual journey is this, that these seven things get thinner, 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 and finally becomes so thin that it disappears completely. So, when it becomes extremely thin, that means you are very close to Akshara Purusha. When all these seven things are very strong, you are very close to Akshara Purusha. When these seven things completely becomes thin, so thin that it does not exist in you anymore. Because these are all movement of the false ego. The false ego is Aham. That Aham's movement is Ahankaram. Ahankaram's seven manifestations inside us. This is what that is. And that is in the Sanskrit grammar it is taught. They teach that in the grammar itself. That, so when you start inquiring about this Aham Bodham, if your inquiry becomes stronger and you become very deeper in that level, that it will not anymore move away from this Swarupam. That means when these seven has disappeared, practically you can see that Ahankaram has gone from life. And what remains then is Aham Bodham only. And from Aham Bodham, you won't move anymore. You will remain in that Aham Bodham state. So, but when you come out of Samadhi state, for example, in the Nirvikalpam state, when there is no Vikalpam, suppose you leave that Samadhi state and you come back into Aham Bodham, it can come back, Vibhakti will come back again. It will come back again, little by little. And, but that Aham, when it comes back, it will be a little bit more purified. Because you earlier, you had moved away from the Ahankaram to some degree. You see, by chanting and all, this is what actually happens. This Ahankaram dies inside. And without losing that, the journey is not going to go very far. Because that is why it says here that even our Veda Buddhi, Veda Buddhi means this Gunam Dosham, good, bad, right, wrong, friend and foe, all this kind of Veda Buddhi. This is Veda Buddhi. This is an, he is my friend, he is my enemy. This Veda Buddhi also will come and go when this Ahankaram goes down. But when this Vibhakti, these are called Vibhakti, these seven movements of the false ego, seven movements of the Ahankaram, it's called Vibhakti, seven Vibhakti. When that Vibhakti completely disappears, that means all the movements of the false ego is completely gone. And at that time, there is no more Ahankaram, it's only Aham Bodham. It is in that state you realize Akshara Purusha. Based on that, there is a verse in the Shastram which mentions this. What it talks about is the state where they have made verse based on this seven Vibhakti for the sake of remembering that. Krishna rakshatu mam chara chara guru krishnam namasya sada krishneneiva surakshitoham rasakral krishnaya dattam mana krishna deva samulbhavo mama vibho krishnasya dasosmyaham krishne bhakti achanjalastu bhagavan he krishna tubhyam nama. How Ahankaram in seven different forms using Krishna's name and compiled this verse. Krishno rakshatu mam chara chara guru krishnam namasya sada krishne naiva svirakshito harasagru krishnaya dattam mana krishna deva samulbhavo mama vibho krishnasya dasosmyaham krishne bhaktir achanjalastu bhagavan he krishna tubhyam nama. That is that verse. So the point is that if we understand that these seven things exist, which is our whole vyavaharam in this world also is within these seven circles, you can say me, mine, by me, for me, from me, mine and in me. These seven things, they are the seven movements of the false ego. So ultimately, through that verse, this is among the scholars, they discuss it this way, that everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. For this, by Krishna, for Krishna, as Krishna, and from Krishna, Krishna alone exists. Here there is only Krishna, nothing else exists. In other words, only Krishna exists, I don't exist. I is what? False ego. Isn't it? I said false ego. So, Aham Kriti, there, what happens is, Ahankaram completely goes and Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam also goes at that stage. When you have destroyed Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, means Ragadvesham also gone. And what is that Anubhuti? That Anubhuti realization at that stage is talked about here. there is no two things existing. Dvaitam has disappeared at that time, and there is no experience of duality there, and everything is Krishna's presence there. And when it has happened in the whole creation in that way, Krishna addresses that as Purushottama. So these words, Purushottama, Akshara Purusha, Kshara Purusha, these are all realizations. These are not persons standing there. That's what you have to remember that. These are all realizations. Akshara Purusha is a realization. Purushottama is realization. Kshara Purusha is also realization. That is why, that is what Krishna calls it as Uttama Purusha. When Kartrutva Bhoktrutva has gone, Ragadvesham has completely gone, and all that remains is Akhandagaram Anubhavam, Akhandam, unbroken, not falling back again, unbroken, total presence of Atma, Krishna, in all living entities, in whole creation. You can't experience anything else outside Krishna. When that stage comes, Krishna says that Purushottama, that is Purushottama. And that is the next verse. If you look, you will see there. Verse 17. Uttama Purushastvanya
Uttama Purushastvanya
Paramatme Dyudahritam
Paramatme Dyudahritam
Yo Logatrayama Vishya
Yo Logatrayama Vishya
Vibhartavyayam Ishwaram
Vibhartavyayam Ishwaram
Uttama Purushastvanya
Uttama Purushastvanya
Paramatme Dyudahritam
Paramatme Dyudahritam
Yo Loga Trayama Vishya
Vibhartyavyayam
Ishwara Uttama Purushastvanyam Paramalpmedi Udahrida Yo Loga Trayam Avishya Vibharti Avyayam Ishwara. That is the verse. So let's look at the translation. Besides that, besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. So, Uttama Purusha is that. And Prabhupada gave that Kathopanishad and Shedashvadara Upanishad. Says the idea of this verse is very nicely expressed in those two Upanishads. Is that the above, the innumerable living entities, some of whom are conditioned and some of whom are liberated, there is a Supreme Lord who is Paramatma. And you will see there, in that verse, Prabhupada is quoted, Nityo Nityanam Chedanas Chedananam Ekoye Bahunam Vitathadi Kaman. You will see that verse quoted in other places also. Prabhupada is referred to those verses, Nityo Nityanam Chedanas Chedananam Ekoye Bahunam Vitathadi Kaman. That verse comes in the Kathopanishad also. Then the only those two, there's a verse, there's a four lines, but Prabhupada has taken only the first two one. That is in the isa Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhadi Kaman Tamalmastam Ye Anupashyanti Dhiraha Tesham Shanti Shashuri Ne Taresham. So referring to that, mentions there that the that this Altmastam, tam altmastam ye anupashyandi. Anupashyandi dhiraha, tesham shandi shashwadi naitaresham. So, that Paramatma who is dhiraye anupashyandi. Dhiraye anupashyandi. Dhiraye anupashyandi means only dhiras who are realized souls, they can realize it, they can understand that. Tesham shandi shashwadi. Because their Shandi is Shashwati. Their Shandi is permanent. Those who have realized that. Itaresham na. Others it's not. That's that verse talking about. Tam Altmastam ye anupashyandi dhiraha. You see, Nityo Nityanam Chedanas Chedananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidharadi Kaman. That verse యా నిత్యానాం నిత్యః దట్ వస్తు హూ ఈజ్ పర్మనెంట్ అమంగ్ ఆల్ ది పర్మనెంట్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఆల్ అక్షర పురుషాస్ ఆర్ పర్మనెంట్ బట్ ఈవన్ ఫార్ అక్షర పురుషాస్ హీ ఈజ్ మోర్ పర్మనెంట్ హూ ఉత్తమ పురుష పరమాత్మ ఈజ్ హీస్ పర్మనెంట్ సిట్యువేషన్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ అక్షర పురుష ఈజ్ పర్మనెంట్ బికాస్ ఇట్స్ ఐ మెన్షన్ ద నిత్యశుద్ధ బుద్ధముక్త స్వరూపం నిత్యో నిత్యానాం హియర్ ఎ రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ అక్షర పురుష అండ్ ఉత్తమ పురుష ఈజ్ స్పోకన్ అక్షర పురుష హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ పర్మనెంట్ బట్ ఉత్తమ పురుష ఈజ్ పెర్మనెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దిస్ పెర్మనెంట్ థింగ్స్ దట్ మీన్స్ హీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఫర్ ఎవర్ చేతనశ్చేతనానాం ఏకోయ బహుణం చేతనశ్చేతనానం మీన్స్ హీ ఈస్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద జీవస్ జీవస్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్ ఏకో బహూనాం కామాన్ విదధాది బట్ హీ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ హూ దిస్ పరమాత్మ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ బట్ ది ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ థింగ్ అబౌట్ హిమ్ ఈస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆల్ ద జీవస్ గెట్ దేర్ డిజైర్స్ ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్ ఇఫ్ హీ హెస్ నాట్ శాంక్షన్డ్ ఇట్ we won't get our desires fulfilled. We keep desiring things in life, isn't it? And we want to get them fulfilled, the desires. So, the fulfillment of those desires is Paramatma's presence. That's why it is. Paramatma sanctions that and then it gets fulfilled. Eko bahunam yo vidadadi kaman. Then, tam atmastam ye anupashyanti dhiraha. In other words, that this presence of Paramatma inside some realized soul, they take note of it. They are conscious of that. That is Paramatma who is sanctioning everything. So, it's always good to read that verse, all the four lines. When you are only taking the two lines, you won't get the whole spirit behind that. When you only say Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vitadadi Kaman, to some extent, yes, it is true. But the whole verse carries a lot more message through that. You can see that. First two lines says, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vitaladi Kaman. But the last two lines says, Tam Atmastam Ye Anupashyanti Dhiraha. Only those who have realized it, they can be, they are conscious of that. Anupashyanti Dhiraha. Those who have realized it. They are called Atmastam. That means they are situated in that state. Tesham Shandi Shashwadi Netaresham. Such people, they are always in the state of Shandi. Others can never be in that state. That is what that verse is talking about. So, anyway, coming back to this this verse, Krishna, what Krishna is saying here, that in the 17th verse, ఉత్తమ పురుషస్తన్యం పరమే పరమాత్మేది ఉదాహృత సో ఉత్తమ పురుష ఫస్ట్ టూ లైన్స్ ఉత్తమ పురుష అన్య హి సేస్ దట్ మీన్స్ హీ ఈస్ బియాండ్ క్షరం అండ్ అక్షర బియాండ్ క్షరం అండ్ అక్షర పురుష ఈస్ ఉత్తమ పురుష దట్స్ ద ఫస్ట్ టూ లైన్ ఉత్తమ పురుషస్తన్యం పరమాత్మేది ఉదాహృత పరమాత్మేది ఉదాహృత బికాస్ Kshara means temporary, isn't it? What is temporary? Akshara means everlasting, never gets destroyed, isn't it? But still, one problem with Akshara is he is limited to within the body. He is limited to within the body. And this one is Paramatmedi Udahrida. But this one, Uttama Purusha, Krishna calls him as Paramatma. పరమాత్మ హి సేస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద సింప్టమ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పరమాత్మ యో లోకత్రయం ఆవిశ్య దట్ ఈస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ పరమాత్మ పరమాత్మస్ నేచర్ ఈస్ లైక్ దట్ లోకత్రయం ఆవిశ్య ఇన్ ఆల్ ద త్రీ వరల్డ్స్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ లిమిటెడ్ టు వన్ బాడీ అండ్ విభర్తి అవ్యయం ఈశ్వరం And Vibhati means he has got all the three worlds are in him. All the three worlds are in him. And he is Avyaha. There cannot be any reduction or any destruction in him. He remains like that. This is the Paramatma's nature. Paramatma Ishwarasya Ishwaraha. Same thing in the what's that in the Ishavanishat also? Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Isn't it? The same principle. Yad kincha jagatyam jagat. So, what is that three worlds Krishna is talking about here? Yo logatrayam. Logatrayam means the three worlds. Avishya, Vibhartya, Vayam, Ishwara. These are the way Krishna wants to mention about the Paramatma. Paramatma, if somebody asked a question, this is how it is. Then, Uttama Purushastvanyam, Paramatmedi Udahrida. Yo logatrayam avishya, Vibhartya, Vayam, Ishwara. He says. So, what is these three worlds Krishna is talking about? In one level, it is Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam. Bhur, Bhuaswaha. That's like in the Gayatri chain. And in our own existence, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. That is the three worlds. Isn't it? So, Jagrat is the world of the body. Jagrat state. Waking state. Dream state is the world of the mind. Isn't it? Mind is active in the dream state. And Sushupti is Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram is busy there. In all the three worlds, he is present. Who? Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha is present in all the three. Uttama Purusha is also present there. So, that is what, when Kabir sang that song, Jagrati Rama, Sopne Rama, he sang this, isn't it? He said that in Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, I got only one thing, Rama, he says. So, in all the three planes of existence, only Rama exists. That is, Ramachandra's devotee speaks like that. Krishna's devotee will say it's Krishna in all the three worlds. So, that living force who is present in all the three planes, that is what it is mentioned here. So, wherever I look, I only find presence of Krishna. Presence of Krishna. And you can't move anymore anywhere. This Uttama Purusha can't move anymore because he is present everywhere. There's nothing outside him, separated from him. Everything exists in him. That is the important thing. Paramatmedi Udahrida, Logatrayam Avishya, Vibharti. He is existing in everything. And there's no place where he is not present. Avyayam Ishwaraha, Divyo Amurtaha. So, there he mentions like this, that also this Akshara Purusha is Avyayaha, says Avyayaha, but still in the Upanishad mentions it in a different way. He says Divyo Amurta Purusha Sabahya Abhyandaro Hyaja Aprano Amana Shubro Aksharat Paratapara. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad. It says, Divyo Amurta Purusha Sabahya Bhyandaro Hyaja Aprano Amana Shubro Aksharat Paratapara. So, Kshara-purushan, Akshara-purushan, all these things, it's already there in the Vedam, in the Upanishads, everything. What Krishna is saying to us is that, in a very simple way, Krishna has put it in the Bhagavad Gita about Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha, Uttama-purusha. Three different levels of realization he has spoken. That's all we have to understand for the moment. Because it is a big subject in the Upanishads, the Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha, goes into quite a lot. So, here, you'll see that the Divyo Amurtaha, Amurta Purusha Bahya Abhyandraha. So this Akshara Purusha is talking about Akshara Purusha, although he is not destructible, indestructible, he is Abhyandraha. His problem is he is only inside. Who? Akshara Purusha. Whereas and he only manifests inside. Who? Akshara Purusha. But Purushottama, what is the difference? Bahya Abhyandarobi Ajaha. Upanishad says that. Krishna has not mentioned that here. Only he says like this. Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatmedi Udahrida Yo Logatrayam Avishya Vibhartya Avyayam Ishwara. That's the way Krishna says that. Upanishad is saying about this Paramatma, the difference he says here between Akshara Purusha and Paramatma or Purushottama is this. Akshara Purusha can only manifest inside a person. Yeah, Shapurusha. Inside a person, he will manifest. He will not manifest outside. Purushottama is the one who manifests in all living entities, in all over the creation, and nothing exists outside him. Everything is within him. So that realization, that's it. Bahyam abhyantaram. Is bahyam is abhyantaram. That means outside is inside. Ajaha. And he has no birth or death, nothing like that. Ajaha. And if you ask the question, is there a pranan or mind there? And that is what Upanishad is more clear about that. He says, pranan cannot touch that. Apranohi. Amanaha. Mind cannot touch that. So you can see, when you become more subtle and more finer, all these things goes away. Including pranan and the mind goes away. It's in a very high level, this realization. That means pranan has gone, mind has gone, everything has gone. Purely Atma, Paramatma. That's all exists, that state. That, and mind and the pranan cannot touch that. Which one? This Uttama Purusha. And pranan, mind is also Brahmam. In that Brahmam. So in Avarocha Anubhuti, it mentions like this. Pranayamam, it talks about Chittam di Sarvabhaveshu Prabhajagatval Uchyade. So, all the movement of the chittam has stopped. There is no chittam anymore. No vasanas inside, no chittam inside. And when all the movements inside has stopped in the mind, ahankaram has gone long ago. But even the mind has stopped its function. There is no more movement inside mind. And when it comes to that perfection, that is called nirodham. Nirodham means completely arrested. It cannot move anymore. It is totally fixed. And this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Mano Nirodham because of this. My 10th canto is supposed to do that for all of us, to get our mind completely fixed in Krishna, never to move again from there. So that is what it is mentioned here. And that is what Krishna says here. That is the greatest pranayama, Krishna says there. Because when you don't have pranan, when you don't have mind, completely has disappeared, then there is no more pranayamam necessary, isn't it? So, if you mind nature is, if you keep on thinking about the mind, mind will get stronger. Mind will become stronger. So, here in the Upanishad says like this, that the divyo amurta purusha, sa bahya abhyandaro hyaja. This is all Paramatma's nature. Paramatma's nature. How Paramatma manifests, that is what Upanishad is saying to us. Divyam amurtam purusha sa bahya abhyandaro ajam. Apranam, pranam, no pranam. Amanaha, shubhro. Aksharat paradapara. And that Paramatma is beyond Aksharat paradapara. Aksharat paradapara means he is para to the Akshara Purusha. Aksharat paradapara he is. Upanishad says this. Upanishad says this. So, so you can see everything in the everything in the Upanishads is there in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly these chapters, what we are now looking at, isn't it? So here we have seen that the this movement of the so. Kharam apranohi amanaha shubhra aksharan paradaparaha. So, the more if you go to that akshara purusha's realization, the more you go in that direction, you will see there, the deeper you go, that you can see this Paramatma Purusha, Paramatma Purusha, and who he stands even beyond the akshara purusha. Beyond the Akshara Purusha. Because what will happen at that time? When you come to that stage, when you start seeing Purushottama, who is beyond Akshara Purusha, who is beyond Akshara Purusha, in that realized state, you will start seeing that it is that same Paramatma who is present as Akshara Purusha and who is present as Akshara Purusha as well. So, and not only that, even the whole creation is him. Only whole creation is him. And everything what you see here is him. and he will swallow everything. That means after you have reached that state of Uttama Purusha, realization, you won't be able to see what is Sharapurusha or what is even Aksharapurusha. You have fallen away from this. We are now just like this, three compartments. We are in this first compartment, struggling here. But the way spiritual life works is, realizations work is, when you go on to the higher planes, the lower planes disappears. They don't exist anymore. This world, what we see today, is exists for our mind, our senses, and our experience, isn't it? Vishwam darpana drishyam. According to our vasana, we see the world. But this whole, because there is no vasana, vasanas have gone completely. Therefore, the world, what we perceive today, doesn't exist anymore. Aksharapurusha stage. And when everything in this creation is only nothing but Krishna's presence, is experienced as Paramatma's presence, he says even that state will transcend. Even Aksharapurusha stage will transcend, which is the total realization of the truth. So, initially, he swallows everything. When you come to that Purushottama stage, Aksharapurusha disappears, Kshara-purusha also disappears. You can't keep Kshara-purusha and be situated in the state of Purushottama. That is not possible. That's not possible. Purushottama level, once you have reached, then Kshara-purusha is gone. Aksharapurusha is also gone. Only Purushottama or Uttama Purusha exists at that time. And when you reach that Purushottama stage, then what will happen at that time? Everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. That is exactly what Prahlada told Hiranyakashipu. Remember that in the Bhagavadam? That Prahlada told Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu is saying, where is your Hari? Where is Vishnu? Where is Vishnu? Prahlada is saying, there is only Vishnu, there is nothing else in the creation. Just see, from the realization platform, you have to look at those verses. Don't look at it from the Jiva platform or the Kshara-purusha platform. If you see that, you start thinking, oh, Prahlada is seeing only Krishna, that he is looking at Krishna everywhere. It's not like that. What has happened to Prahlada is, Prahlada has come to this level. Which one? Paramatmedi Udahridam, Paramatma stage, realization. That for him, there is only Krishna exists, nothing else exists. His father doesn't exist. He is not looking at his father or is my father or anything. He is saying Krishna is present in Hiranyakashipu also. He told him also that. When Hiranyakashipu asked this question to Prahlada, where do you get all your strength? He says, whoever is giving the strength coming through you, it's coming through another person. That's all the difference. Where's the difference, he said. So to say that vision and realization must be so good to say that, isn't it? So he says here that nothing else exists here except Krishna. He say, Prahlada says to him. Prahlada says to whom? To Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? And once they have reached that state, they cannot fall anymore. They cannot fall anymore. There is nothing to lose. Nothing will go. They will not lose anything. And their yoga state, that will never be lost. That yoga state will never be lost. Because they don't have anything to acquire anymore. They have reached the perfection. They have reached the perfection. Sadashiva Brahmendra, who was a great personality, was gone all these stages through. He speaks about it. Remember I mentioned about Sadashiva Brahmendra. The Nawab of Arcot, he was ruling at that time, and he had a huge palace and many wives, and they were all bathing in the palace pool, swimming pool or whatever that is. By chance, Sadashiva Brahmendra walked through that way, completely naked and without caring for the world. In that state, he was going through that way. Somehow or the other, it came to the notice of the Nawab. Nawab said, who is he doing this? What, walking around like this? Send somebody to cut his hand off. And they went, and as usual, the instruction was given, he went and cut his hand off. He didn't even know that the hand is gone. And he was walking still. Nawab noticed all these things and went up to him and paid his obeisances to him and said, I don't know who you are, but I have done this thing. He wasn't even conscious of the body what he was in. To that extent, Paramatmedi Udakrita, what Krishna is saying like this. Body, part of the body was taken out, he wasn't conscious of that. He brings it back, the hand, and show it to him. So he puts that hand back into it and it sticks there. He doesn't break it off anywhere. So Sadashiva Brahmendra talks about this in detail. He has a book called Chidvilasam, Atma Chidvilasam, I think it is called. It was a very famous book and it is loved by those acharyas who are in the Jnanamargam. They love that book. He talks about that. He says here, what happens for a person at that stage? He says here, Chikirsha Nivritti, Jignyasa Nivritti, Loka Nivritti, Bhaya Nivritti, Sankalpa Nivritti, Dvaita Nivritti, Prepsa Nivritti. Eight Nivritti. Nivritti means freedom from eight different things. What are they? He says here, that Chikirsha Nivritti. Chikirsha Nivritti means, we have now a feeling, though I got to do so many things in this world, isn't it? It doesn't go away easily. Only when you become helpless, you can't do it, you give it up. Otherwise, you won't give it up. You will carry on doing it. Hammering, hammering, hammering. Never come to an end, isn't it? You will never give up. Even if you fail in everything, still you will keep hammering. This is called Chikrsha Nivritti. Chikrsha Nivritti, Sadashiva Brahmendra says there, then that has to go from inside. And it is not possible to give it up easily. This Chikrsha Nivritti. So, that hammering business, that I am not able to give it up, that will go when this realization comes. Then Prepsa Nivritti. Prepsa means, I have to achieve something in this world. This thing. This Prepsa. You see that in many people. Some people say, I have to become a Wimbledon champion at any cost, and he will work the whole life for that. Or I have to become a prime minister or a president or something like, some position in this world. Or in some big position, some big company, chief executive or something like that. So, this is Prepsa Nivritti. And if you tell them, they will not be able to give it up. Give it up. It is not possible because it's gone so deep inside. That's called Prepsa. Now, to live in this world without a goal is also difficult. Isn't it? Many people have got that goal. This is, so, it's a goal that's keeping them going in this world. And if the goal is big, they will somehow struggle to any extent to get there. So, that is Prepsa Nivritti, to give that up. Jignyasa Nivritti. Jignyasa means, I still feel that I have to know a lot of things in this world. Desire doesn't go away. To know, acquire knowledge in that way. Jignyasa Nivritti. Then, Jihasa Nivritti. Jihasa Nivritti means, that capacity to remove everything by giving up things. By giving up things in himself, knowing very well that I don't need all these things, it's able to give up things in life and able to move away from the connection with the world in that way. In a way that we don't want to be connected with the world. In that way, all attachment and connection with the world able to break up from that. And Sankalpa Nivritti. Sankalpa is imagining things in the mind about various things all the time. Developing different Sankalpam inside. All of us do that, isn't it? When we sit quiet, so many thoughts coming. And we go we follow the thoughts wherever it takes us. And thinking this, thinking that, planning this, planning that. Something else, some information comes from the world. Immediately mind starts processing it. And we start going after that. So, this whole thing, world, what works inside us is very subtle, isn't it? We are not even conscious of that. It goes on like that. Sankalpa Nivritti. Then, Dvaitam, he says here, Dvaita Nivritti. Duality. Very difficult to come out of the Dvaitam, isn't it? Then, Prepsa Nivritti. Prepsa Nivritti means that Bhaya Nivritti. Here, what it is always being fearful, feeling fearful. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen to me? What will happen in this world? What will happen to him? What will happen to somebody else? This kind of fear inside. All this is ajnanam it is. If you really analyze it, you can see that. It's all coming from ajnanam. Ajnanam makes all these things in us. these eight kinds of things. And normally when you escape from the dvaidam, bhayam, normally fear goes away. If you remember, Kavi Maharshi said that in the 11th canto. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal. You will see a verse there. From dvaidam comes fear. Dvaidam comes fear. Because there is two, one will be fearful or the other. If there is no two, there is only one. Where is the question of fear? But when there is two, there is always fear. So, then finally, shoka nivritti, that means you are completely, all the distress has gone away from inside. No distress inside anymore. That is shoka nivritti. So, like this, in that book, you can read Almachit Vilasam. It talks about this eight kind of nivritti. Eight kind of nivritti. So, these eight things completely disappears when one reaches Purushottama stage. Purushottama realizations. It is at that stage, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, Upanishad's realization talks about. Tal Jagalnidhi, Shruti says like that. So, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, this is a famous word in the verse in the Upanishad. From the Upanishad. Like we have four Mahavakyams. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, and I am Atma Brahma. Four Mahavakyam in the four Upanishads. There is another one which is called Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, which is referring to this Purushottama realizations. That after this I am Atma Brahma, that then it is Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. So all your experience then is only Krishna. Only you are experiencing Krishna, nothing else. So, nothing exists outside Krishna. And then you may say that mind is still working. No, there is no mind even to work at that point. The, what is present inside you as the mind is also Krishna. It's also Krishna. So, each emotion or thought waves that's coming at that time is Krishna. And because it is like that, you have the complete freedom and there is no fear anymore inside. And there is no possibility of anymore falling back into this material existence. Material existence. Swadandram panditiyam nirvidya balyena tishtade. At that stage, what happens then to that person? He has the complete freedom, swadandram, freedom from panditiyam. He does not want to study anymore any books. All that's finished. Panditiyam. Nirvidyaha. There is no more education anymore involved. Balyena tishtade. He'll be like a child. He'll be like a child. This is why, have you noticed in the Bhagavadam, when they present Shugabrahmarshi, Jadabharada, Dattatreya Maharshi, they are all referred to as like children. They play like children. Why? Because in that state, this Purushottama realization is in them. So, they have thrown away all their scholarship. Everything has left them. And they'll become like children. They'll become like children. And they are completely independent. Completely independent. Even our Rishabhadeva also, you can see that in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? When he walked out, all the other people were chasing him. Children were throwing stones at him. And many people thought that he's a mad person going. Mad person going. Why? Because of this Paramatma realization. That is what is the result of that. So, result of that. Shugabrahmarshi, when he arrived, there were so many children with him. Because they all thought he is a child like them, playing with them. That is what that realization is. Balyena tishtade. So, complete freedom means no do's and don'ts for them. You can't put any more things to them. They have gone beyond all that things. And if you ask them, will they make any kind of mistakes, means any kind of wrong things, will they do in this world? No. First of all, they don't have any desire to do anything. That desires have gone away from them. And only if you have wrong desires you will go and do wrong things, isn't it? If your mind is operating on with wrong desires, then you will go and do something wrong. But because there is no desires inside and the mind is not operating, there is no chance of them doing anything wrong either. And they don't have any desires either. They don't have any desires either. So, therefore, they will not do anything that's wrong in this world. Everything is Krishna for them at that time. But if they look at someone, those people on whom they are looking, they will get elevated. They will get elevated. That because it's called Amrita Drishti. Their vision is nectar. Their vision is nectar. Because they are not seeing anyone anymore as a human being or a man or a woman, and they don't have any emotions like we feel when we see a person. Immediately I like him or I don't like him. I hate him or I love him. Or I will have some impressions in me about another person. When you, anybody in this world, when you see another person, we carry some impression about them inside us. All those things are completely cleaned up inside. Nothing exists for them. So, whomever they see, it's Brahmam realization for them. Brahma Bhavam. And that is called Amrita Drishti. That Amrita Drishti, with that vision, if you look at a jiva, that jiva will get elevated in his spiritual life. He will get elevated by their vision, by them looking at it. And what will normally happen is, if someone in that state looks at another person, that person whom they have looked at, they will also start experiencing that nectarian experience in their presence, at least for a short period of time. In their presence, they will experience that when they look at them. When they look at them. So, this is the Uttama Purusha state. Uttama Purusha's experience this is. So, Krishna is Uttama Purusha. Krishna is Uttama Purusha. Purushottama and Paramatma. Krishna mentions all that. Only thing is, while creation happens, he is Brahma. He is Brahma, Lord Brahma. While it is maintained, he is Vishnu. While it is maintained, he is Vishnu. And while it is destroyed, he is Rudra or Shiva. Isn't it? And when everything disappears finally, when it comes to the unmanifested state, avyaktam, there he is Ishvara. He is Ishvara in that state. And after everything is over, and when he is only present in the creation to bless us, to give us that mercy, grace, in that form, when he appears, he is Sadashiva. You know that various thing, Panchakritya Parayana, the five things, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, then Ishvara and Sadashiva. All five of them is mentions, is his presence here. Srishti Kartri Brahma Rupa Gopti Govinda Rupini Samharini Rudra Rupa Tirodhanaka Rishwari Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. These five activities is present in her. This is referring to Lalita Devi in the Sri Bhagavadis. In another way it is seen. Panchakritya Parayana. Five things she does. As Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, he does these three things. Creation, maintenance and destruction. Then she also does as that Ishvara, who is present in the unmanifested state, is Ishvara or Ishwari, whichever way. And everything is over, that who blesses this, as in the Paramatma form, when she is present, she is addressed as Sadashiva. So, what names don't get confused about that. Names have no much of an importance. We give importance to names, isn't it? What is important is how Brahmam or Paramatma manifests in different forms. How he is addressed in different stages of realization. While creation happening, he is addressed as Brahma. While maintenance going on, he is addressed as Vishnu. While when everything is destroyed, he is addressed as Shiva or Rudra. And when everything is unmanifested, unmanifested. In that form, he is Ishvara. And when he shows grace to the living entities, to the jiva, to come out of this material existence for liberation, that state he is addressed as the Sadashiva. Sadashiva. This question always people ask this question. You know, people sometimes it's very interesting actually. People ask this question that Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, their abode is within the creation. Within the creation. Prabhupada asked this question to Sridhar Maharaj. You can see in the conversation, one of the lectures. He is asking Sridhar Maharaj, where is Sadashiva? Sadashiva is outside this creation. Outside this creation. If you look into Brahma Samhita also, you will see there a verse which talks about different levels of the different abodes of the different deities. Hari's deity, Devi's deity, Haridham, Devi Dham, like that he talks about. There's one particular verse there. So you start wondering that where you, because normally we are used to looking for the physical plane, isn't it? It's not the physical plane that's been spoken about. It is based on this understanding it is spoken. That the three plane of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, that's easy to understand because that's our easy access to that for us, isn't it? Brahma does the creation, Vishnu does the maintenance, and Shiva does the destruction. But the other two, which is Ishvara, and which is avyaktam state, unmanifested state, is Ishvara. Is Ishvara. And you can see within us also, he is present. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. So, neither Brahma, nor Vishnu, nor Shiva is addressed here. He is addressed as Ishvara. We notice that. As Ishvara, he conducts our life, but he is unmanifested. He is not in the manifested form, like Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Then, beyond all these things, these four, there is another plane of activity where Alma, Chaitanyam or living force, Brahman operates, which is called Tirodhanam. Tirodhanam means that when Krishna's grace comes to us in some form, picks us up from this material existence and puts us back into our pure state of spirit, Alma. At that time, his address is Sadashiva. He is addressed as Sadashiva. Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, you can see this. Srishtikarta Brahma Rupa Goptri Govinda Rubini Samharini Rudra Rupa Tirodhanagari Ishwari Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. These five activities are going on in this world all the time. So, this same force, what does all these five different things? In Vaishnava tradition, we will call it as Narayana. Narayana is the force who is doing that. Whichever way you call it, Shaiva, in the Shiva tradition, Shaiva traditions, they will address as Shiva. But whichever way you call that, it is only a plane of experience. Anubhuti Mandalam, that is. And it is not important what name you give it to that. The force is one. And that is Purushottama. Purushottama is these five different things. Purushottama. So, in that stage, what will happen? The duality completely goes away. Dvaidam fully goes away. And no more a personality like the way we are now. What exists is only Ishvara. In the Uttama Purusha stage. And only Sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana, doesn't exist. He is gone. Only one who is doing sadhana, he has gone. Sadhana is also finished. Sadhana is finished. Sadhaka, who is doing the sadhana, is also gone. What is left then? Sadhyam. The goal only remains. Only the goal remains. And after that, you can't see the person who is doing the sadhana. He is gone. Sadhaka has gone. Sadhana is finished. Only remains sadhyam. The goal. Sadhyam is present, and that state, only when the sadhyam is present, that and that sadhyam is illumination everywhere, that sadhyam, and that is what is called uttama purusha state, uttama purusha state, and it is also called sahaja nirvikalpa sthiti. In the yoga language they address it that way. So so because Krishna is all these, Krishna is saying I am that, all these realizations are in whom? In Krishna. Everything, this Shravarusha, Shravarusha, everything is in Krishna. Knows this, knows means not the way intellectually but in his realizations. Therefore Krishna is saying here, because he is like that, Krishna is like that, he says I am Purushottama. That is why he is saying I am Purushottama. And Krishna says that one who knows this Purushottama, you realize that, then you are released from all your sinful activities, all your sinful activities. That is how Krishna mentions there. That is why Krishna mentions there. So once again we look at that verse, that the Krishna started that with the 16th verse, isn't it? That's where this part started. 16, 8, 17, 18, 19, 20. And that is his 5 verses about this Charavrusha, Charavrusha. First verse, Krishna is saying, Dva imo purushe loke charam aksharam evacha chara sarvani bhudani kudastam aksharam uchyade. That's about the Charavrusha and Aksharavrusha covered in that verse. Then in the 17th verse, Krishna mentions there, Uttama purushasthanyam paramalmedi udahrida yo loga trayam avishya bibharti avyayam ishvara. So this one verse is only talking about the Uttama Purusha. About the Uttama Purusha, isn't it? So this is the state of that Uttama Purusha, what we have spoken so far. Krishna is that Uttama Purusha. So, normally, in this world, in our experience level, there is only Charapurusha and Aksharapurusha, not Uttamapurusha. Because that's how far we can go in the body. Charam means, Krishna says there, Charam Sarvani Bhudani, isn't it? You remember? Look at that 16th verse, he says, Charam Sarvani Bhudani. Because Sarvani Bhudani, all living entities are Charam, Krishna says. Why? Because we have this personality inside, individuality or personality. That means we have the bodily identity, bodily concept. Therefore, we are all Charam. And that is temporary, nashuram. Chara sarvani bhudani. Then Krishna says here, that is why we are called charam. We are temporary. Kodastam means kodam. Kodam means a pot. Kodam. A pot. So, why is it called kodam? Because so many thought waves inside, vasanas inside, vigaram, vijaram, and it's all mixed up in the karana shariram. And there in the karana shariram, he is sleeping there. Dormant he is there. Who? Aksharapurusha. Therefore, he is called Kodastham. He is not affected by anything, but he is identified with all these things. He is not separated from the vasana. Vasanas are inside there. So, Kodam is that state of Sushupti. They also call it like that. Sushupti state. Sushuptau sthidaha Kodastaha. Sushupti sthaneidi hridaye sthidaha. So in other words, the easiest way to identify Kodastham, that Aksharapurusha is, go into the Sushupti state. That is, he is closest to us. That's where you can find him easily. That means Sushupti, in Sushupti state, where the mind goes and dissolves, where you sleep without any dreams, and where mind goes and dissolves, that is where this Aksharapurusha is. Aksharapurusha is there. That is all Upanishads will say to us. about that. He is hiding there. How do you know? Because you remember that in the Mandukya Upanishad already he is spoken. Yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate na kaschana swapnam pashyadi tada sushuptam. Sushupta sthanam egi bhudaha prajnanam khanam eva anandamayo anandabhuk chedo mukaha prajna stutiya padaha esha sarveshwaraha esha sarvajnaha esho andaryam esha yoni sarvasya prabhavapayohi bhudanam. See, this statement in the Mandukya Upanishad is only to tell us that this Akshara Purusha in the deep sleep state, what is the state of existence? Explaining that to us. What is all that? Sushuptam. In the Sushupti state only he is there. What is the beauty of that? Na kaschana, na kanchana kamam kamayate. No desires. Amazing it is, isn't it? That state when we have no desires. Whereas vacant state is exactly opposite. One after the other comes. No desires. That's the beauty of that Sushupti state. We have to admire that state, isn't it? How Krishna has given us this every day, for some time at least, that without any desires you are able to live in this world. So there is a na kanchana kamam kamayate. No desires can disturb you at that time. Na kanchana sutnam pashyati. You can't even dream about any desire working inside. See, the Sushuptis, if you look at it, you should relate to Sushupti state with the two verses in the Bhagavad Gita. One verse is Prajahadi Yadakama, Sarvan Parthamanogada. That state you can see in the Sushupti, is it not? From there itself you can understand the glory of that Sushupti. Sarvan Parthamanogadan, Almanyo Almanatushta. Okay, Almanyo Almanatushta is not there because of our Vasana Karana Shariram. But Prajahadi Yadakaman you have got there in that state. Secondly, the other words Krishna talks about, which one? Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmane Gami Hastini Shuni Jaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision, where do you find? In Sushupti. Is it not? In Sushupti, you don't discriminate between people. One is higher, one is lower. Everyone is equal. That is that Sushupti state Krishna is talking about. Samadarshina, that's what we want, isn't it? We want Samadarshitvam, equal vision. We want Prajahadi Yadakaman. Both these two things, equal vision and freedom from desires, both these things completely happens 100% in the Sushupti. Is it not? So that is what Upanishad is saying to us. Na kanchana kamam kamayate, na kanchana sutnam pashyadi, tada sushuptam. Sushuptasthanam egi bhudaha. There is only oneness there. There is no two things existing. Prajnanakhanam evam anandamayam. That prajna is pure and it is full of anandam. Deep bliss inside. Anandabhuk chedo mukha prajna tridiya padaha. The third state, which is four, there are four. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti and Turiyam. Tridiya Padam is Sushupti. Esha Sarveshwaraha. There you are on the top of the world. Isn't it? Sarveshwaraha. You are the complete controller. You are there, Purushottama himself, there in that state. Esha Sarvajnaha. And you know everything in that state. Esha Yo Andaryam Esha Yoni Sarvasya Prabhavapayohi Bhudhanam. It is his presence that is manifesting in all living entities in that state. So, this Upanishad statement, what you have seen there, in Kodastham state also, you can see that in the Sushupti state, he is hiding. Who? Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha is hiding there in that state. And that is why, that means in Sushupti, there is no personality, isn't it? Vyaktitvam has completely gone. False ego has completely gone. That is what Samadarshitvam has come. Equal vision has come because personality has gone. If you have personality in there, you won't get that equal vision. Because you will judge immediately. Personality will start making judgments. He is higher, he is lower, he is good, he is bad. All kinds of differentiation will start developing that time. So, Sushupti state, that vyaktitvam or personality is not there, and this person who is listening now, he is not there in the sushupti. This person who is listening now, he is not there in the sushupti. And similarly, this person who is speaking, he is also not there in the sushupti. Isn't it? This is personality. He is speaking, personality is listening. But in sushupti, the real I is there. The real me exists. Isn't it? Because, not that you die and wake up, because everybody says, I have slept well. That's what we say when we come out of sushupti. Is it not? We say we have slept well. We didn't say I didn't say I died and woken up. I said I slept well, isn't it? So that is a report in the morning. So aham padarthastu ahamadi sakshi. So in sushupti state, you get a much better realization of this aham. Aham's proper realization is in the sushupti, not in the jagrat. Not in the dream state. Because in Jagrat, aham comes in the form of ahankaram. In the Jagrat, to a large extent, it is covered with ahankaram. In the dream state also, because the mind is present there, this ahankaram is still there, but not to that gross level like in the vacant state, but in a much more subtle level. Isn't it? So, that is what that's about. So, you will see this mentioned there again in the in the Dakshinamurti Stotram is a beautiful verse how explaining this thing. Rahu grastavi
vayu vagarendu sadrisho mayasa achadanal sanmatra karanova samharanado yobhul sushupta puman pragas swapnamimithi prabhoda samaye ya pratyabhinyayede Tasmai Shri Gunamurtaye, Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So Dakshinamurti Stotram is like an Upanishad, it is. And there this verse comes. Rahu Grastha Divagarod Indu Sadrisho Mayasam Achadanal. Rahu Grastha means that Rahu, you know this what we call the eclipse, isn't it? Eclipse. So the what we know is that Rahu covers sun, Rahu covers the moon. That is how the eclipse happens as per the Vedam. Rahu covers, and that is what we call as the eclipse, isn't it? And similarly, inside us also, there is sun and the moon. Sun and the moon. Who is that sun and the moon? Intelligence is the sun and mind is the moon. Everything that is in the creation is within this package also, in a very subtle level. So, sun and the moon is present inside us as well. And Rahu is ignorance, ajnanam. When Rahu covers that sun and the moon, and in the Sushupti state, it's what it does is, mayasa achadanad. In the vacant state, in the dream state, the intelligence and the mind covers our atma. Covers our Atma. That is why Akshara Purusha is not known. In the deep sleep state, Maya covers through Ajnanam. Maya's agency, that is Avidya. Tamogunam, in other words. Tamogunam is one of the three modes, isn't it? So, Tamogunam covers in the deep sleep state. In the vacant state and in the dream state, intelligence and the mind covers. So, neither of these three states, it is possible to realize easily His presence. Sushupti Mayasam Achadanam. Maya Achadana means Maya puts the veil in the deep sleep state. So, body, mind, intelligence, personality, everything gets covered in the deep sleep. Apart from the ourself as well. Then what is left there? Sanmatraha. It says here, Sanmatra karanova samharanato yobhul sushupta puman. In that sushupti state, all what is existing, all you know is that you are there. That much is guaranteed, isn't it? You didn't feel that you were dead. You didn't get the feeling that you were dead in the deep sleep. What has happened when you woke up? You knew you existed, without any influence of the vacant state or the dream state. You are fully conscious that you are existing in the deep sleep state. You never felt that you were dead and gone, isn't it? Because you could see that when you wake up, as soon as you wake up, you are so confident that the body is there, the mind is there, it hasn't gone. But actually what happened was that in that deep sleep state, that reality, death has not taken over. That's why he says here, am I exist? Sanmatraha. Sanmatraha means that I was conscious of my existence there. Nobody can say that I didn't exist in the deep sleep state. So, to understand this, how to understand that? The answer is there. It says there, prayam svapnam idi prabodha samaye ya pratyabhijnayate. That means, sometimes we wake up directly from the deep sleep. Sometimes, not always. Sometimes, most of the times we come to the dream state and then we come to the vacant state. But it is possible that sometimes from the deep sleep state, you wake up directly into the vacant state. When that happens, for example, suppose someone has rung the bell or the phone rang or something like that, or somebody come and woke you up. Suddenly you are deep sleep. You woke up straight away. They had no time to go through that dream state, isn't it? And you were in a deep sleep, so that means directly from Sushupti, you come to the Jagrat state and not to the dream state, Sopnam. So, when you wake up like that, if you sit down and for about 10 or 15 minutes, if you think at that time, where was I a few minutes ago? If you look at that way, you can see there that this personality or my personality whom I am very closely identifying with, it didn't exist at that time. You can very clearly see yourself if you try this, that when you wake up like this, in this way, at that time you have to do that. For about 10 minutes, if you sit and think about it, at that time you can see within yourself, you will know that this personality I am identifying with didn't exist 10 minutes ago inside me. Inside me didn't exist. You will get a much more clearer vision at that time. Within yourself, you will know it. That personality didn't exist. You have to give time for all these things. Normally, we jump up and start straight away into action, isn't it? So, there's no time to think about any of these things. But Upanishads are telling us that is what he's saying also. Praga svapnamidi prabodha samaye. When you wake up, yes, pratyabhijnayate. That pratyabhijna will tell you this. That few minutes ago, I didn't exist. Where did this I come from now? And tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri Dakshinamurtaye. Dakshinamurti's presence inside is this. That he can reveal to you this knowledge of the self in so many different ways when we studied this Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. And you can notice that our own identification as we are now in the vacant state didn't exist 10 minutes ago in the deep sleep state. And nothing was there. That is why Upanishad says, Mata Amata Bhavati. A mother is not a mother in the deep sleep state. She is only in the vacant state and the dream state, your mother. In the deep sleep, she is not a mother. Pita Apita Bhavati. I am thinking somebody is my father or somebody is my mother, but only apply to vacant state and the dream state. In the deep sleep, what father, what mother? And Shruti says here, a king is not a king in the deep sleep state. Father is not a father. Mother is not a mother. What else? A woman is not a woman. A man is not a man in the deep sleep state. And personality is not there. Hate is not there. Ragadvesham has gone completely. And nothing exists there. That state. In that state, nothing exists there. So, there is a story about this. One Vaishnava met one Shaiva. And they were arguing each other. What will they argue? You know what they will argue about, won't you? The one was saying, Vishnu is supreme. And the argument went to such an extent, they start beating up each other. It has happened in the history. If you go back into the history, you will see this. how it all ends up, like in the form of religion. Because there's no spiritual understanding, it's all based on the body, isn't it? So they fought each other, and ultimately after fighting they got so tired, and they fell asleep both. They were underneath the tree, the argument started. So they fell down there, they fell asleep there itself underneath the tree. And they were snoring as well. After a while both of them were snoring. So, and when they were snoring, you know, they were sleeping close to each other. So Vaishnava's leg was on the top of the Shiva's leg, Shaiva's leg. Shaiva's leg was on the top, hand was on the Vaishnava's body. They were sleeping like that. So, they were snoring as well. Both of them were snoring as well. So where is Vaishnava, where is Shaiva now? The person who is identifying as Vaishnava and Shaiva, it is this Vyaktitvam, personality, isn't it? Aham Bodham it is. So when the mind wakes up, personality wakes up, at that time all these arguments and ragadvesham and all problems that comes up along with that. But once you go into the deep sleep state, it is a clear indication to us that these Vyaktitvam, personality and all the other designations associated with that personality is all false. Is all false. So that is what he says here. Sanmatra karanoba samharanato. Sanmatra karanoba samharanato. Because when it is destroyed, samharam happens. Abhuk sushupta puman says here. Then yobhul sushupta puman. In sushupti, all this samharanam happens. Sanmatra karanoba samharanam. These are all karanam, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they're all called karanam. Karanam. Sanmatra karanam. All karanam has been taken away from you. Once that has been taken away, yaha abhon sushupta puman. That's all is only in that sushupta. Who is existing at that time? Only is existence and bliss. Existence and bliss. And where did he get that happiness from? Because in Jagrat, in Jagrat state, we have a problem. What is that? this happiness won't come to us. What you got in Sushupti. Why? Because in Jagrat state, we have a problem. Problem is this. We want to see something nice. We want to hear something nice. We want to smell something nice. We want to taste something nice. We want to touch something nice. That means world of senses. That's Jagrat, isn't it? So, that kind of happiness is what we are looking for in the vacant state, in the Jagrat state. But in Sushupti, you have not seen anything, you have not heard anything, you have not tasted anything, you have not touched anything, and you have not smelled anything. And still you are saying, I was extremely blissful in that state. I was extremely blissful. And that too is happiness which is not touched by any of the senses or by the world. So, all other kinds of happiness becomes a bore when you compare that with that happiness in the deep sleep state. So, just like if I give the example sweet rice, for example, people like it, isn't it? How much can you drink? 6 glasses, 7 glasses you may take. And there is also a limitation, isn't it? Suppose I give you sweet rice for 6 months every day, 5 or 6 glasses. You will say, I had enough. Let's switch on to khichdi even. I don't mind, you will say. Is it not? You get bored with that after that. So, similarly, you will get bored after a while. Even though you like sweet rice so much, after 6 months you will say, you had enough of it. I want to change, you will say. Switch to something else. You will, no matter who it is, you will complain about it. I can't take it anymore. 6 months, every single day, 6 cups of sweet rice if you take, what will happen? Imagine what will happen. So that kind of situation is there in this world. Any happiness in this world, it's like that. But, we have been sleeping for how many years now? I've slept for 65, 66 years. I still don't say I'm fed up of sleeping. Why? Why is it like that? This sukham is different than that happiness. Isn't it? Happiness that you are getting from the deep sleep And I never complain that after you wake up that I'm bored. No, I'm not bored. I had a good sleep. I really enjoyed that sleep, and all of us will agree with that. So look at the nature of this happiness compared to the happiness you get from senses. Any happiness you get from the senses, doesn't matter what it is, whether it is eating, sleeping, mating, defending, whatever it is, happiness that comes through the mind and senses, you can't compare that with the deep sleep. Deep sleep has that capacity. Every single day when you get it, and when you come out of it, you are still, you still glorify the deep sleep. You can't complain about it. Ultimately, that's all what we want. Sometimes if you haven't had a good deep sleep for many days, even somebody offers you millions of pounds, you will still say that I want my sleep, that deep sleep. That is the greatness of that. So, still now no one has spoken that he got bored with deep sleep, and he will never say this in the future either. Because that is where the greatest relief from everything, what gets us, what we do there is the greatest weight on us. We are unloading it there, in that deep sleep state, is it not? We are unloading that. And what is the greatest weight? Greatest weight is ourselves. We are the greatest weight on our shoulders, isn't it? And because our greatest weight is this ego, ahankara, personality, in other words, and you have left it. That's why you felt so happy. You left your body, that's a gross thing. But heavier than the body is this personality, what you are carrying with us. And that is what you have left it. And it is a one kind of death. But what are we frightened about? Normally, why do we get frightened when we say about death? We all get frightened of death coming, isn't it? Fear is this, oh, will I be destroyed? I may not exist after that, isn't it? But it is happening every night, but I'm not getting frightened. Just see that difference. Normally, when you're in the awakened state, if somebody tells you that I'm going to kill you now and shoots a gun at you, shoot you down, you get immediately frightened. Immediately you are affected by that, is it not? Why? Because you fear that he's going to kill me. And you're fearful that I'm going to die. All that comes in the awakened state. In the deep sleep state, every night, what's happening? The same body which you are trying to protect, you're throwing it away and you're going away. And you feel happy about it. And therefore, every night you are experiencing that death in another form. And everybody likes that death in the night. That kind of death, everybody likes it. But that's why they say, sleep is good, death is better, it is best never to be born at all. It is from that this statement has come. Yeah? Sleep is good, death is better, it is best never to be born at all. It's a poet, some great poet has spoken like this. So he felt like that. So for a temporary period of time, when we don't exist, we get energized. Isn't it? That's the interesting thing. In the deep sleep state, that's what happens. Temporarily, when we don't exist, we get energized, like the battery gets charged. Same way, we get energized at that time. And that is what he's saying here, that the ujam, that this energy flows into us at that time. At the time of death, actually, this is what has to happen to us at the time of death. This thing what happens in the deep sleep state. But our death now at the moment is a dream in our mind, isn't it? And it's not a sleep. It's not a... Just like in the dream state, our personality is following us in the dream state. Similarly, after the death also, the personality continues to exist. This is the problem. This is where the problem is. That if the personality leaves us like in the deep sleep state, if it leaves us at the time of death, then your problem is finished. But unfortunately, personality, like in the dream state, it follows us through the death. It's much more in a detailed way to talk about it. Same thing we are talking about in different ways. So that we get fixed inside us. That's the idea behind it. Personality
we leave in the deep sleep state and we experience happiness. If you are able to live in that deep sleep state in the same way through death, then the death is last death. There's no more death after that. But if you leave the personality, if you leave the personality in the way dream state, then you have to accept another body. You have to accept another body. So that is why that Akshara Purusha we talked about, he is called, Krishna calls it as Kudastham, isn't it? Because Akshara Purusha, because he is Kudastham, he says here that that Akshara Purusha, Krishna addressed him as Kudastham here. And just like we say Shiva Shakti, in the same way, in the field of Prakriti is Kshara Purusha. In the field of Shakti is Kshara Purusha. And everything takes birth here in the field, Prakriti. Everything takes birth here, it grows here, it changes here, and it gets deterioration happens here, it gets destroyed and eventually death. The six changes that happens, Shad Parinama Bedam, that happens in the Prakriti. And that is the field of Prakriti. Continuously changing nature. That is the nature of Prakriti. And Anisya means it's continuously is changing. That's the nature of Prakriti. For a moment, it doesn't stop. But when you come to Akshara Purusha stage, this is in the Akshara Purusha, Prakriti stage. Akshara Purusha stage, all Akshara Purusha does is, he doesn't go through any change. But he is seeing the changes that is happening in the Prakriti. He is conscious of that. He is able to notice everything that is happening in the changes in the body, changes in the mind, changes in the intelligence, personality, senses, and in the Prakriti. All the changes, he is able to notice that. That is why those verses, Upanishad verses mention two birds sitting on the tree, one bird sitting observing, the other bird continuously experiencing changes. So, Akshara Purusha is Sakshi. Akshara Purusha is Sakshi Rupam, isn't it? So, Sakshi form, he, Akshara Purusha, looks at the Akshara Purusha in the Sakshi form. And beyond this Akshara Purusha, beyond the Akshara Purusha, is that Vastu which is Purushottama, or the what we call as the Purushottama or Uttama Purusha. What Bhagavad Gita says is Uttama Purusha. So, but here, beyond means, what does that mean? What it does is, once you have reached that state, Uttama Purusha or Purushottama state, he automatically swallows these two. Which one? Akshara Purusha and Kshara Purusha. If you want to come back to become Akshara Purusha and Kshara Purusha, is not possible anymore because you have become Uttama Purusha. So, Uttama Purusha, for Uttama Purusha, Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha doesn't exist. Because it's the highest realization stage it has come. And so what will happen is, when he swallows this Akshara Purusha, what happens is, Akshara Purusha spreads everywhere and he will swallow this whole Ahangaram also, and Aham Bodham will swallow this Ahangaram, everything. And what remains is that only the Purushottama stage comes to that. So, if you start inquiring about Ahangaram at that time, you can't find Ahangaram anymore. Remember that Narayana Suktam verses, which I have read that before, he mentions in that. In the Narayana Suktam, you will see there. Even if you don't fully know, at least difficult also, this Narayana Suktam, Purusha Suktam, all these are difficult verses. Just like in the Bhagavadam, Purusha Suktam is there. You know, in the second canto. Nobody reads it. Because it all makes no sense when you read it. Like Vedam, true nature of the Vedam. Narayana Suktam is also like that. Purusha Suktam is also like that. You can read it and the Prabhupada has given the translation, purport and everything. But it is all in the air. It won't make any sense. So, similarly, Narayana Suktam is like Purusha Suktam in the same way. It is mentioned there also in the same, that is mentioned there,
Tasya madhye maha agni. That is how in the Narayana Sutta mentions about Uttama Purusha. Tasya madhye maha agni. Vishwam archir vishado mukham. So agribuk. Vibhajan tishta. Annahara majara kavi. Tirya gurdhva madasa sai. Rasmayas tasya santada. Sandhavayadi swam deha. Mabada talamastaga. Tasya madhye vani shikha. Anir yordhva vyavasthida. In talking about the presence of this, he talks about Agrabuk there. Agrabuk. Whom is he worshipping? This who? Purushottama. Who is he worshipping? Because he has already swallowed the hangaram. False ego is gone away. Vayam devasya bhojanam. Vedam says like this, that this Aksharap Uttama Purusha's food, what is it? He eats this Kshara-purusha. Vayam devasya bhojanam. That is his food. He eats the Kshara-purusha. He becomes the food for the Uttama-purusha. Who? Kshara-purusha. So, in other words, what is Kshara-purusha? Is the personality inside, isn't it? Ahangaram inside. Vyakti-bhodam. So, he swallows them. And slowly, once he has swallowed that, when Uttama-purusha swallows them, he naturally becomes, he present inside only as Akshara-purusha, then as Kodastham. He is present inside as Kodastham, as Sarva-vyapi, and he will manifest there. That is what it says. Tasya madhye maha agni, vishwa archir vishwado mukham. So, agrabukha. Agrabukha means one who swallows. Agrabukha. Yajnam. It is a word used in the yajnam. Agrabukha. One who to whom everything is offered is called Agrabukha. In the Bhagavatam that word comes. Agrabukha is called. Agrabukha means one who consumes in the all the sacrifices. That's it. So Agrabukha is the Agrabukha there in that sacrifice. And naturally when he takes him away like that, that he manifests as Kodastham inside in everyone. And then he starts coming out through the senses to the world. And this is what is called as universal form. You know, when we say Visharupa Darshanam, seeing universal form is not any changes made in the universe. The change is happening inside. That's what happened to Arjuna also. For a short period of time, Krishna gave that realization to him to understand what Krishna is. Nothing was changed in the world. In his vision changed. Remember that, Visharupa Darshanam, in the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter. Our problem is, we'll see the picture. So what we will think? We'll think of some Krishna was standing there with so many heads and hands and legs and everything like that, like the way we have made the picture, isn't it? So that's our lack of that understanding, proper understanding. But all what happens in Visharupam is that Krishna gives this, withdraw that ego from Arjuna. So what happens then? Aksharapurusha is there, only Aksharapurusha. Kodastham Aksharamuchyade. That Aksharapurusha who is in the Kodastham, he comes out through the senses and the mind, and when he comes out, everything what he sees is Krishna. That realization of Uttama Purusha stage, Krishna is giving this to Arjuna. So when he gets that, his Aksharapurusha is gone, only Aksharapurusha and Uttama Purusha is there. At that time, what Arjuna experienced, that is that universal form. Same thing what has happened to Yashoda also. Mother Yashoda had the same vision. For a short period of time, when Trinavarta came and picked Krishna, immediately Yashoda started feeling big changes happening. And then, after that, there is that pastime mentioned there in the Bhagavatam, you can see there, that Krishna asked, Yashoda asked Krishna to open the mouth, all the gopis, and there see all the planetary systems, everything, whole creation within that. And Yashoda saw the universal form for a short period of time. Only thing is, Yashoda saw and got frightened. What's happening to my son? Three, 4 years old boy, showing the whole creation within the mouth. And that it is an experience in Yashoda, what she was experiencing in her for a short period of time. But then what did Krishna do? Krishna said, I want to have the milk, breast milk. and suddenly put Yashoda back into Maya again. Switched from Yashoda from one area to the other side, to Maya. When she fell into Maya, everything forgotten. She immediately became, oh, she is my darling son Krishna, and wanted to feed milk to him, and attachment and everything came back to her. It's very difficult to get attached to someone who opens the mouth and see the whole creation inside that mouth. How will that be? Imagine that situation. And Krishna knew that very well, that if I keep her in that state, that she will have a problem. She will go crazy. So naturally she had to come back to Maya. Vaishnava Maya takes over and brings her back into this state. So change is always happening in the person, not in the world. That's why all these pictures and all that, you have to be careful when you look at the picture. Not start thinking, oh, there was somebody standing there with thousands of heads and thousands of legs and thousands of nose and ears like that. So that's what. And same thing you can see when Krishna went to represent Pandavas in the assembly of the Kauravas. Isn't it? Dhritarashtra was there, Bhishma was there, Drona was there, and all the Kauravas were there, Duryodhana was there, Vidura was there, and in their assembly, Krishna showed the universal form. Who experienced that? Duryodhana experienced that. Duryodhana started thinking, there's some magic going on here. Duryodhana says, there's some magic he's doing here, something with us. And he won't give up easily, isn't it? Krishna just showed the universal form to him that, be conscious who I am. That's all it is. Just be conscious who I am. And still, he didn't get in. That is Duryodhana's good for misfortune. Isn't it? Even Dhritarashtra, who was blind, he was given the vision to experience this within. He didn't pick up on that. Bhishma picked up. And he told Duryodhana, you don't know whom you are talking to. This personality, you don't know who it is. All those things you can read in the Mahabharata. The Bhagavatam is not covered so much, because Bhagavatam is only taken what was important for the Bhagavatam presentation. Mahabharata, you will see deeper, very extended explanation to that, chapter after chapter. What, when Krishna walked into that assembly. And nobody could understand that. Krishna, who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? And that is why, when he is doing all these things, as Purushottama, he is doing this. When Krishna is manifesting these things in people's mind, in their field of experience, when they are experiencing, he is like Purushottama, they are like Sharapurusha. When Sharapurusha get an experience of Purushottama for a short period of time, the whole balance goes away inside. He loses it, isn't it? Same thing happened to Mahabali also. You can see, these are all different times when Krishna manifested that universal form. In Mahabali's case, Mahabali also, when Mahabali looked, okay, when you read this story, you will see, with one foot, he measured right up to the heavenly planets. Another foot, he measured right up to the lower planetary systems. And legs started going up and up and up and up like that. So we start imagining, oh, how long this leg can go, isn't it? It's not the leg that is gone. What has happened is, Kshara-purusha, for a short period of time, experiencing that Uttama-purusha state. For a short period of time. And that was enough for... That's why Mahabali said to Vamanamurti, if you won't extend this foot anymore from there, I will show my head to you, he said. He couldn't say anything after that, could he? Because that's what happens, isn't it? The change that has happened. All that wanted was that. So... It will come out through this, and that is what is known as universal form. That is what is known as. So in chapter 11 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna showed the universal form. So if you want to understand universal form, you have to understand this Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and Uttama-purusha very well. And then universal form is not anymore a mystery. Otherwise universal form is a mystery for many people, isn't it? So in order to see that universal form, you have to realize this Uttama Purusha. Only then you can see universal form. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, it's just like this. what Krishna has done to Arjuna was, you know, for Janmashtami day, for example, there's a long queue to see the deities. A VIP comes. The temple president, what he does?
Now I'll show you this another way for you. Takes through the side somewhere and friend of the deity brings him in and then brings him back. Same thing. That's what Krishna has done with Arjuna. This universal form, that's what it is. In big, big temples when you go, when VIPs come, say president comes, prime minister comes, or very rich people comes, who have some higher level connections, we will be standing in the queue holding our Beats bag or whatever it is, a long, long queue running into miles, hours and hours we have to wait. And you keep looking, suddenly a VIP comes, and the president of the temple or the manager of the temple, he will take him directly in front of the deity. He has his darshan and he brings him back. Same thing what Krishna has done to Arjuna. This is an example just to make it a little easier to understand that this seeing universal form is like that. Temporarily, Krishna has taken him there, showed him and brought him back. That's all. So, it's 4 o'clock. I think we'll have a break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purna mradaswadhanam sarvatna svanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవాన్ మమాభి హృదైవ మే దృశమిహా జని నానురాగాః త్రనాయ విషునీజేన తరోరవి సహిష్ణునా అమానినామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మని ఈశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై దుగి త్వయి ఐ నందనూజకింకరం పతితామాం షమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయామ్ నయనం గలదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిజితం కదా వపో తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యది యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయినం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే శ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం అర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాతు లంబనో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా.
ఉత్తమ పురుషస్త్వన్యం పరమాత్మేది ఉదాహృదాం యో లోకత్రయమావిశ్య విభర్తి అవ్యయమీశ్వరాః. సో ది వాట్ వి వర్ జస్ట్ డిస్కసింగ్ దట్ ది తస్య మధ్యే మహాగ్ని, దట్ బిగ్ ఫైర్ దట్స్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ Agrabukha. Agrabukha means one who consumes everything in the fire. That's offered into the fire. Agrabukha. So, he swallows that false ego. Gets swallowed by him. Vayam devasya bhojanam. We become his food. Today, what are we? Ahangaram, isn't it? Ahangaram is what we are. We becomes his food. So, when he... and then... there he can see here that who is present, this Purushottama, who swallows this Kshara-Purusha, he manifests as Akshara-Purusha inside. He is manifests as Akshara-Purusha inside. And when he is Akshara-Purusha inside, he is Kodastham. Krishna mentions that in the last words. You remember? That Kshara-Sarvani-Bhudani Kodastham Akshara-Muchyade. So his Akshara-Purusha is when he is Kodastham. When he is Kodastham. And then he comes out through the senses to the world, and that is what is Vishwarupa Darshanam.
Vishwarupa Darshanam is that universal form, what we talked about, what Krishna saw there, that universal form is this manifestation of the Akshara Purusha through the senses he is experiencing. Not the way we Akshara Purusha experiences. Akshara Purusha has experiences through the senses. That is Vishwarupa Darshanam, universal form, which I mentioned for examples, what we see in the Bhagavatam. Arjuna had, Mahabali had, Yashoda Devi had, and Duryodhana had, all four of them. And nothing changed in the world, but Krishna gave that experience to them. This Akshara Purusha experiencing through the senses, not as Akshara Purusha, not as Akshara Purusha. So, in other words, it's something like with the example that you go in the queue, but somebody takes you and show you the deities and bring you back and leave you again. Finally, everybody wants to see the deity and leave home, isn't it? But he gets the opportunity, he gets bypassed everyone and brings it home. Krishna has done that to Arjuna. Or something like this, if you go travel to somewhere else without the passport and visa, and they let you in for a short period of time, they'll stamp it for 7 days or so you can stay, then you'll have to leave. So similarly, if they find out, they'll throw you out, isn't it? That you have entered a country without the proper passport or visa in the same way. So Krishna done this, a little technique for Arjuna that day. Krishna did this deliberately for Arjuna that day. But any technique that is done is not permanent. That you have to remember. If you do anything through this kind of, you know, through the roundabout ways and shortcuts if you use in spiritual life, it will never be permanent. That was the reason even the knowledge in Arjuna didn't stay for very long, permanently, for a long period of time. It was a glimpse for a short period of time. Remember, Arjuna lost it later. And then he repeated, asked this question to Krishna again to stay Bhagavad Gita to him. In the Bhagavatam, after hearing from Krishna, he's saying to Krishna later that he heard everything in the battlefield. And much later, after a long time, when they were going for a walk in the evening, in the first canto, you will see that. Tattam Sangrama Murdhani Prabho, he says. Sangrama Murdhani. Then Krishna, he says to Arjuna, says to Krishna, I've forgotten all that what you told me that day. That is because of this problem. It's not come through the proper channel. Shortcut was done for him also. So that is why because after hearing Bhagavad Gita, one should not feel fear anymore in life. That's the goal of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Because you have come to realize the truth. Once you realize the truth, there should be no fear in a person. Arjuna felt fearful afterwards. You see that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Because before you become mature, then Arjuna was exposed to this universal form. Before he was matured for that, he didn't come through the proper way. In the proper way, through the sadhana, upasana and Krishna's grace, in that way it didn't happen. So that is why when Arjuna saw Krishna as the whole universe, that's how he saw that, isn't it? You look at the 11th chapter, you will see there, Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugrarupa Namostude Deva Vara Prasida Vijnyadumichami. He says, I'm seeing you. If you look at that verse, it's an interesting verse, how Arjuna is seeing Krishna at that time. Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugrarupa. There is a verse there in the 11th chapter. Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugrarupa Namostude Deva Vara Prasida Vijnyadu Michami Bhavanda Madhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravurtim. Which one is that? Yeah, 31. 31, I think. Yeah. See that? Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugrarupo Namostude Devavara Prasida Vijnyadu Michami Bhavandam Adhyam Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravurtim. I'll read the translation. O Lord of Lords, So fields of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. You please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. This would not have happened if Arjuna had realized it in the proper way. Suddenly, from our state, suppose suddenly universal form was shown to us, we will say the same thing, because we will be frightened seeing that form. But had Arjuna had gone through in the proper channel and realized the truth, this wouldn't have happened. That is why he is saying that. Akhyahimeko bhavan ugrerubam, ugrerubam. Fear, in a realized soul, there is no fear, isn't it? Fear cannot exist in a realized person. Fear is due to what? Due to dvaidam and due to body existence. In a realized person, where is the fear? There is no fear. When you realize the truth, where is the question of fear? You are not the body anymore, aren't you? You are spirit, or Atma you are. In the Atma state, there cannot be fear. Fear is a part of, is an emotion of the mind. And that only exists in the mental platform or the bodily platform. It cannot exist in the spiritual platform. Spiritual platform is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa. Eternal, liberated, always conscious, and Shuddha Buddha, fully conscious and always liberated, always pure. No emotions can touch that. So if you have come through that to the Purushottama state, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, there cannot be any fear. There can't be any fear, isn't it? So the fear is only because it has happened to Arjuna in this way, for temporary exposure to the Purushottama state. And that is why he mentions there, Akhyahimeko Bhavan Ugrerupa Namostude Devavara Prasida. Arjuna is falling down and praying and praying and praying all the time. Vijnyadum Ichami Bhavandamadim Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravrtim. I do not know you, I don't know your activities, he is saying. A realized soul will never say like that, because he knows who Krishna is and he knows what Krishna's activities are. Otherwise he is not realized, isn't he? Fully realized person is in that state. That is why Krishna is saying, Jnani Tvalpme Iva Me Madam. Whatever he says is what I am saying, can't be different. So it's all realization at the end. Realization is what determines a person's status in spiritual life. So, and that is why he didn't stay, a temporarily a glimpse, that's what Arjuna had. And that is what Krishna has said. Arjuna got frightened at that time, because before Arjuna became matured properly in the spiritual way, Arjuna lost all his fear later. And when he started seeing the whole creation as Krishna, Arjuna says here, Akhyahimeko Bhavanugrarupa. So, he got frightened. Why? Personality has not gone. That's what happened. If personality goes away, individuality, or personality goes away, then there cannot be any fear anymore. Who is getting frightened? Our false ego gets frightened. Ahankaram is the one which gets frightened. In all situations, if you observe carefully, you will notice who is getting frightened. Your ahankaram is getting frightened. Ahankaram gets hurt. Ahankaram gets glorified. Isn't it? Personality, what we refer to as, somebody praises you. Who is enjoying it? Ahankaram is enjoying it. Somebody insults you or criticizes you. Who gets hurt? Ahankaram gets hurt. Isn't it? Similarly, all emotions, fear, anger, who is experiencing all this? Ahankaram is experiencing. Self, Akshara Purusha cannot experience any of these things. So that is why Arjuna had the problem when he saw the universal form. When he saw the universal form. So in that state, if you see the universal form, it's not easy to digest the universal form. Visharupam is Visharupa. Who is Visharupa? Krishna is Visharupam. Isn't it? So we ourselves have to become that Visharupam. Ourselves, we have to change in that way. So that is what that is. Visharupam, if you want to see Visharupam, you have to become Visharupam. You have to become that Purushottama state. And then you see Visharupam. That is proper seeing the Visharupam. Otherwise not. And that is what Krishna is saying like that here. Ahameva Vishwatanu.
హేమ విశ్వతను. సో ఇన్ దాట్ స్టేట్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దేర్ దట్ ద హోల్ క్రియేషన్ బికమ్స్ విశ్వరూపం. జగత్ జగత్ బికమ్స్ విశ్వరూపం అండ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ ఆత్మా కృష్ణ. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ వన్స్ ఇట్ సో హ్యాపెన్ దర్ వాస్ ఎ ఫేమస్ సన్యాసి స్వామి రామదాస్. This Swami Ramadas, he used to chant Ramchandra's name and wander around all over Maharashtra, Karnataka and all those places. So, he came to see Maharshi and says to him, he came up to Maharshi and told him that, I am a sadhu, please show some mercy to me. He said like that and paid his obeisances. So, for a few minutes, Maharshi looked at him. And Ramdas says later about that, that way he looked at me for that few minutes with his eyes, and for few minutes he had been looking at me, I felt inside me that his grace was coming to such a level inside me. And my body started getting a little bit frightened, fearful. And then he ran away. If you read the book about him, Ramana Maharshi's life, you will see Ramdas writes about himself. You will see in his own book. I think it is called In the Vision of God. He saw Ramana Maharshi, and after had this experience with him, he runs into the caves and he spends 29 days inside the cave without food and drink. And chanting Ramchandra's name. He couldn't stop chanting after this experience with Maharshi. He couldn't stop chanting. For 29 days he stayed in the cave and continuously chanted. Without food, without drink, anything. Never came into the bodily level. That is what we were saying before. When you had somebody like that in that state, even looks at you, what it does is, because there is no ahankaram in the person who is looking at you, his vision is nectar. His vision is nectar. It elevates a person's spiritual position, one whom he looks at. And that is what has happened to him. And he says after when he came out after this 29 days in the cave, when he came out, he says there that when he started looking at the world, that he says everything was so blissful to look at this world. Everything you are seeing was only Ramachandra. Ramachandra present everywhere. Because he, deity he worshipped was Ramachandra. And Rama was always in the tip of his tongue. Ramachandra's name. Chanting the holy name. Holy name has become that realization later. And he explains that. Now everything what he saw, all the objects, all the personalities, he says in everything, Otapradam. Otapradam means, when you make the dhoti, what they do, they have yarn or thread goes like this, another thread goes like this, crosswise, isn't it? This way and this way. If you look how they make the dhoti, you will see there. That's called Otapradam. Similarly, in the creation, only Krishna is there in this way and this way. So only Krishna exists, nothing else exists. and that is what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita also. If you remember that verse, మయతదమిదం సర్వం జగద్ అవ్యక్తమూర్తిన మర్స్తాని సర్వభూతాని నచాహం తేషు అవస్థిత. దట్స్ ఎ వర్డ్స్, ఇట్స్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్స్. ఐ థింక్ ఇట్స్ ఇన్ ద 7th చాప్టర్. మయతదమిదం సర్వం, దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఓదప్రోదం. మయతదమిదం సర్వం Seven, is it? Yeah. Okay. 9-4. I better look myself. 9-4. You're right. 9-4. See that verse. What is Krishna saying there? Mayatadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matsani Sarvabhutani Nachaham Teshu Avastida. By me, in my unmanifested form,
this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. That verse. So, Krishna is saying there that everything is in me. When Krishna says, what does it mean? I think it will, if you don't, and will read through these verses, it won't make any sense. Krishna is saying everything is in me. How is it in me? How is everything in me? That question comes, isn't it? Krishna is standing somewhere and saying everything is in me. So this is how he is in me. He is in Krishna. Mayatadam idam sarvam. Jagat avyaktam utinam. And this realization, Mayatadam idam sarvam, is this Uttama Purusha stage. Krishna is speaking everything from the Uttama Purusha level. That is, Krishna is Uttama Purusha, isn't it? So he's speaking from that. Same thing in the Upanishad also, Ishopanishad. When you read the first verse, Ishavasim idam sarvam, yat kinja jagatyam jagat, tena tektyena bunjida, magda kasasiddhanam. So, when you say Ishavasim idam sarvam, means what? Krishna is everywhere in the whole creation, isn't it? Ishavasim idam sarvam. I don't know how it's translated, but Ishavasim idam sarvam, if you look at the meaning, Ishavasim idam sarvam, everything who lives in everything, Isha, who was means to live, idam sarvam, is Krishna. Is that is how we have to understand Krishna. Ishavasim idam sarvam. So, so what happened to us that Ramadas writes, you can read that book, it is there on the internet also. In the Woods of God Realization, I think it's called, or in the, there's two books. Vision of God and there's one more book. If you Google Ramdas, you will see. The books are also there attached to that. He, Ramdas, after seeing Maharshi, and because he has been matured himself, you see, by chanting the holy name. Ramchandra's name, he has chanted so long for so many years and wandered around all over the places. He was walking around. And he was so matured that as soon as Maharshi's eyes fell on him, immediately that Vaikari Shakti woke up from inside and he started experiencing that bliss from inside. He went and chanted 29 days in the cave and then he came out. When he came out, he started experiencing everything completely different. Somebody was carrying firewood on his head and he was walking. He went and held him very tight. That person threw his firewood away, got frightened by seeing this experience to him. And holding him tight, he was dancing because of the bliss he was experiencing. And when he kept hold of that person, threw his firewood, everything, and ran away from there. This is what happens when you meet a realized soul. You will run away. You won't stay there. We are thinking self-realized soul will relate with us in the way we want. Hello, how are you? And shaking and hands. And he's not going to come to you like that. Nobody, no self-realized soul will come to you in that way. In the way we expect that to happen. That's our way, isn't it? Our way is like that. We, or somebody in the door, he's a self-realized soul. Meet him. So and so. It will not happen like that. It happened like the way Maharshi experienced that with Ramdas. Ramdas says this in the book. He still has his ashram, Ramdas ashram in Karnataka. So, Ramdas says to him that he left the firewood and he ran away from there. Ramdas started running after him. He won't leave him also. And he brought him back and he started dancing with him together. This is, you can see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life also. Is it not? Mahaprabhu was dancing. What did they say? Often this same problem happened. Followers could not completely understand everything. Why all this dancing about? Went into the water, ran into the sea, in the. This is all coming from this. It's coming from this. In the Bhagavadam, they use the word Logabahya. You remember this word? Logabahya means one who has finished with this world. Finished with this world. If you look into the 11th canto, Navayogi talks about this. You see, Navayogi mentions there. If you look into the second chapter in the 11th canto, verse number 40. Evam vrata svapriya nama kirtya jada anurago drudha chittam uchaihi hasatyado rodidi raudi gayan unmadavan mrtyadi loka bahya
Unmadam. Unmadam means a madness. Unmadam, because of that madness, Nirtyadi is dancing and he is not in this world anymore. Loga Bahya is outside this world. He has gone. He is gone. He is finished with this world. And we get to meet somebody like that, we think he's gone crazy, we will say. And he will be thinking, all these crazy lot here, singing here. That's the difference. Unmadavan Nirtyadi, Loga Bahya. Loga Bahya means this. This is that state. When Evam Vradaswa Priyamama Kirtya, if you chant the holy name for a long, long period of time without ego, Jadanurago Druta Chitta Muchaihi, that attachment for Krishna builds up so strongly inside. Hasatyado Rodi Diraudi Gayan. And then what happens? When realization comes, you start laughing. Hasam. Hasatyadi, and sometimes you cry. Rodidi Iraudi Gayan, and you are singing also. How? Unmadavan Nirtyadi. Unmadam has come. Madness has happened inside. And Nirtyadi, you are dancing Loga Bahya, outside this world. So, this words from me can understand that dancing, proper dancing is at that stage when it happens in that way. When it happens in that way. A glimpse of that you get in the Harinam and all. When you go, you get a glimpse of that, that they feel that ecstatic feeling, they say, isn't it? But Kavi Maharshi is explaining here, a properly realized soul, when he has gone outside this world and when he is dancing, that dancing will never stop. It goes for ever. So all the great realized personalities, when they are in their spiritual state of consciousness, they can be in this condition, isn't it? So, So this Ramdas, who was at that stage when this happened, he was a very old person. He's not young. And he had no teeth inside. All teeth is gone away. Because of the old age, it is dropped away. So, the man who was carrying the firewood, he says, I looked at his mouth and there was no teeth. So, at least I felt relieved that he's not going to bite me. He said, because he couldn't understand anything what was going on. Isn't it? So these emotions, what happens at that time is in the beginning of this bliss that comes out. And why is that happening? Because there is still a certain percentage of the mind in that happiness. Mind is not completely gone. So because there is a small percentage of the mind, that is why this bliss is coming out in this way. When the mind completely goes away, it is shanti. Total shanti. There is a small percentage of mind will still be there. And finally, he will get settled in the shanti. That person will come to shanti state. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, shanti is the perfection. That means you have even gone beyond the state of emotions and bliss and everything. Anandam, Brahmanandam, everything gone beyond than that. Shanti is the state. Everywhere Krishna talks about shanti in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So, and that is what Bhagavad Gita also says there. Parabhakti, Vedam calls it as Parabhakti. That state is called Parabhakti. And that Parabhakti, which Krishna has spoken about in, you can see here also. If you look into the 8th chapter, Krishna mentions that. In the 8th chapter. Verse. Purusha sa parapartha bhaktya lebhyastva nanyaya yasyandastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tatam. Another important verse. Purusha sa parapartha bhaktya lebhyastva nanyaya yasyandastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tatam. Krishna's point is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all pervading and everything is situated within him. Yeah? Purushasa Parapartha, you are talking about Uttama Purusha now. That Uttama Purusha, Purushasa Parapartha, Partha Arjuna, that Parapurusha, Uttama Purusha is, you can reach there by bhaktiya labhyastu ananyaya. Through bhakti alone you can get there. Yeah. Remember I mentioned before, kshara purusha in relationship with karma yoga, akshara purusha in relationship with jnana yoga, uttama purusha through bhakti. Through bhakti. But you must not think that bhakti what you are thinking is different than the bhakti what is spoken here. Krishna, when he talks about bhakti, he is speaking from a completely different level. Uttama says purushasa parabhaktiya. That parabhaktiya, Krishna uses the word. Only through parabhakti. Isn't it? You see in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into that 18th chapter, Krishna mentions parabhakti, isn't it? What is parabhakti there? Parabhakti, Krishna mentions in relationship with that, which is that verse? Mad bhaktim labhade param. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhade param. So it is in that para, that means you have to go through all this. Which one? Brahma bhuta state first. And Brahma bhuta prasanna atma you have to be. Then hankering and lamentation has to stop. Na shochati na kankshati. And then what else? Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. That equal vision has to happen. That means it is even after akshara purusha stage that bhakti starts. After akshara purusha realization. Isn't it? Akshara purusha realization, if you have it, that means you have this sama sarveshu bhuteshu happens in the akshara purusha realization. Is it not? Akshara purusha realization, prajahadi yada kaman happens. Similarly, also pandita samadarshina happens. That pandita samadarshina stage is this stage what Krishna is talking about. Samasarveshu bhudeshu. That is pandita samadarshina. It's the same thing, spoken in another way. That's all. So, after going, finishing through all these stages, you are coming to this parabhakti stage. It is on that parabhakti Krishna is saying purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhya astu ananyaya and yasyandastani bhudani yena sarvam idam tadam. So that is that what Krishna is saying there in that words. So you can see the connection, that 8th chapter, how closely linked with this chapter. Upanishads are, Krishna has, it's a very difficult science, the science of the soul, to present it properly. And Krishna has taken the message from the Upanishads and in the Vedam and put it together in the form of Bhagavad Gita for us. And beauty of Bhagavad Gita is, it is so well packaged with the Vedic knowledge that anyone who touches Bhagavad Gita will accept that it is the best consolidation of the knowledge of the Veda. That is why Bhagavad Gita gets all the respect from the devotees and from the anyone who is in the spiritual path. Isn't it? So, so Krishna has spoken about Purushottama in that 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, he has already spoken there. And Krishna says there, how you can realize Uttama Purusha there. Purushasa Paraspartha Bhaktya Labhyastu Ananyaya. Again, same thing. Through bhakti, realize him there. He says here. So, what kind of bhakti? Ananya bhakti. See the word Krishna has used, very specific about it. Ananya bhakti. What is ananya bhakti? We discussed before. In the Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi defines ananya bhakti. What is that? Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha, he says there. Isn't it? That means, without even taking the shelter of anything in this world, including your own body. That means you are not dependent anymore on any one of these. Total realization of the truth that this Atma inside is Krishna's presence in me. I cannot separate myself from Krishna at any stage. In every situation, I am Krishna's presence is Atma inside me. That realization. Anyashrayanam. Anyashrayanam means taking shelter of other things. For example, generally people take shelter of so many things in this world. Isn't it? Bank balance, health,
family, society. These are all places where you go and take shelter in this world. You've given up all that. Finally, you take shelter of your own body. Even that shelter has to go. Anyashrayanam tyagaha and ananyaha. That is ananyatum. That ananya word comes again and again and again in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Ananyas chindayan domam yajana parivasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. So there also ananyatum comes. So we have to see bhakti. If you want to properly understand what is bhakti, Narada Bhakti Sutram is the text for that. Narada Bhakti Sutram will define very clearly what actually Ananya Bhakti means. And because Krishna doesn't define Ananya Bhakti, he just uses the word Ananya Bhakti. And that is not our Sadhana Bhakti. It is in that Parabhakti state this Ananya Bhakti can happen. That's another aspect of that. So Ananya Bhakti, Bhaktiya Labhyastan Ananyayam. And when will that happen? So when will that Ananya Bhakti will come? That is what Krishna is saying here. When in Krishna's words alone, you have to look at it. You have to look at it. So Bhaktiya Ananya Purushasa Parasparta Bhaktiya Labhyastha Ananyaya. How will that Ananya Bhakti will come? That is what Krishna mentions later in the 18th chapter. How? Brahma Bhuda Prasannalma Nashojati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Milabhade Param. That is a very key verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That Brahma Bhuda Prasannalma. We sometimes say, it doesn't apply to me. I am a devotee. No, you may be anybody, but that rule applies still. Brahma Buddha Prasannalma. Brahma Buddha stage has to come. That means this ignorance inside, I am a Jiva. Jiva Buddha must go and Brahma Buddha should come inside us. And if you see there, right after that verse, Krishna said something in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember? What did he say? Bhaktya mam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvadojnyatva vishade tadanandaram. That is that verse. That's a very important verse. Why? Because in Brahma Bodhan state, you have developed Parabhakti after that. Krishna saying there, in that next verse, with that bhakti, why? That bhakti is Ananya Bhakti. That's what it says there. Bhaktiya to Ananyaya Shaktiya. Remember? Ahamevam Vidharjuna. Nyadam Drishtimcha Tattvena Praveshtimcha Parandava. That is how that verse is. It's a very interesting verse. What happens to that person? Yadam, he realizes who he is. Drashtam, he realizes what Krishna is. He has realized everything in the proper way. He has seen who he is in the proper way. That means not anymore the body. He has realized who Krishna is. That means he saw Krishna as Andaryami of everyone. After that, Praveshtinja Parantaba, he can enter into me, he says. You see, it's called entering. Entering into something. Now, if you explain that on a bodily level, how will you explain that? How can you explain? That means you'll go and join Krishna. That's not what it means. It means like this. That bhaktiya to ananyaya shaktiya ahameva vidharjuna nyadum drashtamja tattvena praveshtamja parandava. That's how that verse is. Isn't it? Bhakti. Okay. Brahma Bhuta Prasannalma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. Labhade Param. If you go back into the 11th chapter, I think, it comes this verse. Bhaktiyato then Ananya Bhakti leads to what? This is the question. See, from that Brahma Bhuta Prasannalma verse, it leads to Ananya Bhakti. What Krishna says, isn't it? Nashoja sama sarvesu bhudeshu madbhaktim parabhakti. Parabhakti is ananya bhakti. That ananya bhakti, Krishna is saying in the 11th chapter, if you look, you will see there. Bhaktiya to ananyaya shaktiya. That bhakti which is ananyam, only through that, Krishna says, aham evam vidharjuna, you will understand me properly, the way I am. Yadum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parandava. It's in the 11th chapter at the very end, 54, yeah? One before the last verse.
I think 55 verses are there in the 11th chapter. Yeah. 1154. Yeah. And the last verse is Mal Karmagada Mal Pramo Mal Bhakta Sangavarjita. That's the last verse. 55, yeah. So then 54th verse. So you have to connect it like that, that verse with the Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. This is how it you'll find that there. Vishadetadanandaram. It's also there in the if you look at the 55th verse, 1854 is Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma.
Yeah.
1855, what's that verse? Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tato mam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. So it's the same thing. And in the 11th chapter, which was the Krishna mentions there also that bhaktya tvan anya shaktya aham evam vidon. Practically there's not much difference between 1855 and 1154. More or less it's the same thing. Very little difference. Here it says jnadam drishtinja tattvena praveshtinja parantava. Here it says tadomam tatudo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. In essence, it's one and the same thing. Bhakti. And that too, parabhakti. That's the only thing. Here also, he says, bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasme tattvada. Only through bhakti, he's saying. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasme tattvada. Tattvada means in truth. Properly. You understand Krishna. And tadomam tattvado jnatva. After knowing Krishna in the proper way, through tattvam, Vishade tadanandaram. You can enter into him. You can enter into. That means you can realize it. That's what it means. Entering means realizing it. That's what entering means. Entering means not physically entering something. Entering means you're realizing it as it is, the truth. That's what entering means. So that is in 1855. And in the 1154, it's again the same thing. Bhaktiya to ananiya shaktiya aham evam vidho arjuna. So that means only after showing this universal form, Krishna is saying this. That means if you want to see the universal form in the proper way, you have to go through the, realize it in, through bhakti. Through bhakti, you have to realize it in the proper way. Otherwise, it will be like the way it has happened to Arjuna. It will a temporary experience and then falls back again into, it cannot happen. Because Vishwarupa Darshanam is actually happens in the realized state. In the realized state. That is why it's spoken like that. So first thing is you have to realize Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha we all realize now, isn't it? We have got Akshara Purusha is not difficult. We realize it. But first thing is to realize Akshara Purusha. And then what will happen is bhakti will develop. Once you realize Akshara Purusha, bhakti will develop in the heart. Proper bhakti will develop in the heart. And only then you will understand what is bhakti means. To understand bhakti, realization of Akshara Purusha is required. Proper bhakti. Proper bhakti. Otherwise our bhakti will be sadhana bhakti, which we normally talk about bhakti. Bhakti we say, our bhakti which is based on all so many other desires and based on this world and worldly influences and what we heard from others. We hear some miracle happened in some place in somewhere, immediately our bhakti gets up. And then when somebody says that miracle is all bogus, our bhakti gone with that. This is all the bhakti in this world. But parabhakti is not like that. That bhakti what Krishna is talking about is after what happens after Akshara Purusha realizations. Akshara Purusha realizations. In other words, within this Hridaya Agasham, Hridaya Kuhara Madhye, that means inside our heart, who is present that always awareness as aham, aham, aham. that bodham, aham bodham, which is present there, that realizing that, that is akshara purusha realization, brahma bhuta prasanna atma, that stage. And once that has manifested in that way, that happiness what is experienced inside from aham brahmasmi, that will start coming through all the senses, and what we know call it as vijrumbhanam. Vijrumbhanam means it starts coming out through the senses and the mind, and when it comes through the senses into the world, and you will start seeing everything what you have seen inside, you will start seeing outside. What you have experienced in the name of realizations inside, that happiness will start coming out through the senses into the world. World will be there, but experience of the world will be different. And best example in the Bhagavadam is Dhruva Maharaj's experience. If you read Dhruva Maharaj's experience in the Bhagavadam, you will see. He says, Behisthidam tadavastidam dadarsha. There is a verse. If you look into the first canto, sorry, into the fourth canto, you will see there Dhruvastuti. If you read Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's glorifications in the Bhagavadam, it is the let's have a look. Dhruva's glorifications, if you read, although boy of 5 year old, I think it is 12th or 13th chapter somewhere. How could a boy of 5 years speak like this? It's amazing, isn't it? That what he says to them, Krishna, when Krishna appeared in front of Dhruva, it is in the chapter 9. Dhruvastuti begins with if you look in Dhruvastuti 9th chapter, you will see there that Dhruva Vacha, verse 6. Yonda pravishya mama maja vimam prasuptam sanjeeva yatyagila shakti dharasodhamya anyamscha hasta jarana shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. This is how that glorification begins. Dhruva saw Krishna and says to him, yo anda pravishya, who has entered inside me and who makes everything happen. What all, my mind is working, my senses are all working, and gives me the ability to speak, to memorize everything, and which makes all the karmendriyam, senses of action, hasta charana shravana togadin, all senses of action and senses of knowledge, all of them are operated by whose presence, he says, pranan namo, that pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. Place obeisances to Krishna in that way. So there you will mention, says there, if you look into the second verse, after Krishna appeared in front of Dhruva, Dhruva is saying, Savaidhiya yoga vipaga divraya hrid padma koshe spuridam tadit prabham tirohidam sahasaivo balakshya behistidam tadavastam dadarsha. That is that verse. You see, Dhruva's realizations, if you read, completely tallies with what Krishna is saying here. Savaidhiya yoga vipaga tivraya. Because Dhruva Maharaj has executed the yoga system, tivram, very intense, and has become matured in that way. Vipagatva, pakkuda has come. Mainly because Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi sent him to the forest and gave him the mantra and the place to sit. And how to follow it through. Everything Narada Maharshi told him. And that is how when Dhruva went to Madhuvanam, you know, near Vrindavanam, Madhuvanam he went to. It is in Madhuvanam, Dhruva had performed, that is why Madhuvanam became famous. For two reasons, Madhuvanam is famous. One, due to Dhruva Maharaj's penances. Secondly, due to Ambarisha Maharaj's Ekadashi fasting happened there. 1 year he executed, who comes in the 9th canto, Ambarisha. So because of that, Madhuvanam is famous. Dhruva realized Krishna in Madhuvanam. So he says here, Savaidhiya yoga vipagati vraya hrid Padma Goshe, everything what Krishna has spoken in Narayana Suktam, Dhruva is repeating there. In the heart, Padma Gosham, that Padma, lotus flower hanging down, Spuritam Tadit Prabham, and the illumination that comes from there. Tirohidam Sahasa Ivo Balakshyam, first he saw Krishna there inside the heart, in that hole, where he realized this Aksharapurusha there. Andaryami inside there, he realized there. And when he opened his eyes, Behistidam, he's standing outside. Tadavastam Dadarsha, he saw the same state outside in Dhrumaharaj's darshanam, in his realization. So you can see what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. We have examples like Dhrumaharaj to say that's what he has experienced, to confirm that again. So, I think we will stop that. It's 10 past 5. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.